about. So easy. You gotta
put it in perspective. Beer me.
What's that?
Hand me that water. I always say beer me. Gets a laugh like a quarter of the time. Check out this sunshine, man. Global warming, right? Today was supposed to be really cold, I bet.
What about music? You have any music?
Yeah. I should have said so.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
VIG!
Darkness imprisoning me. All that I see. After all that I cannot live.
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it. I'm going to go get it. That's the keeper right there.
We don't want to be part of that, do we? No, we don't.
Oh, hell yeah. Ask the guy, why are you so fly?
He said, funky cold Medina.
Funky cold Medina.
Zero rehearsal.
And now.
When I die, please give Kevin my regards. What shall I tell him? Regards.
Our feature presentation.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
$50 million.
Add a zero to that.
$150 million?
That would be $500. Okay. Add a zero to the 50. Good freaking Lord.
Okay, hold on. What just happened? $500.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin, God damn it.
I sounded exasperated with you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a daily thing.
At what point?
Can we hear that again, please?
I mean, I don't think we need to.
I think we all remember. Let's break it down.
I'd rather not.
Yeah.
Break it down.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
$50 million.
Add a zero to that.
$150 million?
That would be $500. Okay. Add a zero to the 50. Good freaking Lord.
Okay, hold on. What just happened? $500.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It was a total 1709 situation. Well, where did the... How in the...
Where and how are great questions, Kevin.
It's so cute that you guys think I know. It's so adorable that you think I have any idea where that comes from.
If I said 20
Four.
Add a zero, what would it be? If you add a zero to that 20...
Then it would be 120, right?
120,
obviously.
200.
Yeah.
Okay, see? I've been practicing.
Have you?
I loved Good Freaking Lord, too, by the way.
Yeah, she was just
at her wit's end.
Right?
Oh. That was good.
Just tired of working with people that have limited skills and abilities.
I enjoyed it.
Makes me feel comfortable.
Just me. Morning, everybody. Right, brand Kevin. New Kevin DeBeach. It is Thursday. It's June 16th. Yes, Bean.
Right, you do that part, and then I do this part.
Yeah.
Let's guess if Kevin called the number to leave a message for his senator last night for the filibuster. Let's guess if he made that, took that step. What do you think, Allie?
No.
All right. Now let's guess if Kevin knew there was a filibuster.
I bet he did, because I bet he saw it online. He's like, that's a funny word.
Filibusters are dumb, right?
It's a good word, though.
How much of filibuster did you watch yesterday, Kevin?
Well, first of all, I would never in a million years watch a second of a filibuster.
Really?
No.
How it was so
dull.
Great. It was so great. Look, I accept where you're coming from because most of the time a filibuster in the Senate is a guy reading Dr. Seuss books because
he's just trying to
kill time.
Few people like me that don't know what a filibuster is.
A filibuster usually is used because you're trying to stall a vote on a bill. So you just talk. You just take. You get the microphone. You are recognized by the president of the Senate, and you get to talk as long as you want, as long as you keep talking. And there are some specific rules about what you can and can't do. For instance, you can throw it to other people to ask you questions, and they can make their questions last 20 minutes to give you a break. So usually it's a stalling technique.
Yeah. You have to stand and not leave the floor, though.
That's exactly, pretty serious. Which means you can't pee and you can't drink.
That's
right?
The most childish thing that I have ever heard of.
It's insane.
It's absurd. It's ridiculous that it still exists, but it has existed throughout the history of government. I mean, filibusters go all the way back to Roman times.
By the way, in answer to your question, did I know there was one? Yes, because you brought it up yesterday. You were talking about, about yesterday. Yes. That filibuster and how ridiculous it is.
So this filibuster was different in that they weren't trying to stall a bill. They were trying to force a bill to be debated and voted on in Congress, because many people are in the country and in the Senate are frustrated that there hasn't been any kind of discussion about any kind of gun control. So that's what was happening yesterday. Is a very small group of originally, it just started with one guy and then two guys and then five and then eight and then ended up being 40 or something. We're basically doing this round robin thing in the Senate to try to force the rest of the members of the Senate to have a discussion about changing some things about gun control. So that's why it was a little bit different yesterday. But they kept to the topic yesterday. It wasn't a deal where they read recipes. I mean, everybody who got up there had very passionate and insightful things to say and told amazing stories. And I mean, I was really impressed with the caliber of the representation of this, of many states of this country in the Senate yesterday, which is, I don't usually have a very good feeling about the people that we send to Washington. But yesterday I was so impressed by so many of the senators, several of whom I had never seen speak before and didn't know anything about. How about you, Allie?
Absolutely. First of all, it was...
How much of this did you guys watch?
Well, it was hard to find because I thought, okay, it's on C-SPAN, obviously. No, it's on C-SPAN 2. Who knew there was a C-SPAN 2? Get it together, filibusters. Be on C-SPAN.
There's been a C-SPAN 2 for like 40 years.
Yeah, I shouldn't have to search
for it. You gotta be in the OG.
You should be OG. You're filibustering.
C-SPAN and C-SPAN 2 are literally next to each other on the dial, though.
Well, I found that out after much search.
After much search,
I kept going back and forth. I was tuning in, then I'd leave, then I'd see who was back up.
Okay,
I wanted to see how the gentleman from Connecticut that started the whole thing, how he was feeling.
Okay, here's a stupid question.
Yeah,
I assumed that they would always have this conversation, but that it would get voted down when you're talking about gun control. Like too many people were on the other side. Mm-hmm. The NRA is too strong.
Right.
They would always have the conversation. This guy's trying to force them to have the conversation? He wouldn't even talk about it?
Here's what he was trying to do. And again, I don't want to make this a political or a partisan conversation, but here's where Chris Murphy was coming from, the Democrat from Connecticut, who, by the way, how much tail is Chris Murphy going to get in this country now?
Oh, he left there and got laid.
Do you get tail? He got laid on the way back to the car.
Yes, yeah,
tail from
for
a
sure.
filibuster?
Oh, hell yeah, you do, Kevin.
Dude,
you should watch.
Is young and handsome and charismatic and charming, and I wanted to bone him. I mean, it was unbelievable. So here's all he was saying. He's like, look, how about if you're on the terrorist watch list, you can't buy a gun? How about that?
Right.
Can we at least agree on that?
And again, to me, that seems like a slam dunk.
It seems insane that that's something that they haven't been able to vote on, doesn't it?
It seems like that is a one-minute conversation. Everybody, 100% say, okay, fine.
You're taking unless away you're my getting, constitutional rights.
Unless you're getting a lot of money from the NRA, in which case you don't want that. Yeah. Okay, so two. So that's one. And then two is, hey, you know how there's background checks if you go into a store and buy a gun? Well, there isn't at gun shows and if you buy them on the internet. There's no background check. How about if we make those background checkable also?
Okay.
Okay, again, that makes sense.
Again, that seems like that would be easy to pass.
Well, that's what it was. That's what yesterday was all about. And in case you're wondering, it went 14 hours and 50 minutes.
But today we have a new law.
No.
No. So to the credit of those who had been avoiding this conversation and this vote, they did at some point late in the night, they did say, okay, all right, we'll take a vote on that. So it worked. So the filibuster worked. Now who knows what will the next step be and if it could still be voted down, by the way. And I accept that if it's at least discussed and you have the opportunity to vote on it, at least you're voting on it. At least it's not just being ignored. But it was very exciting times yesterday. It was very exciting times. Look, I agree with you, Kevin. The idea
Define
of a filibuster.
Very exciting times.
The idea of a filibuster does seem kind of childish. It's just nah. I mean, it really is as much as I'm not listening to you anymore. I'm just going to keep talking. I mean, that's all you're doing. And it wouldn't work anywhere else in life.
I also assumed that there would be a time limit that you could talk.
Oh, no.
Automatically from day one.
No.
Wow. This government is effed up. I could be a part of this government if filibustering's allowed. That's like a 6-year-old thing. I could do that.
It really is.
Don't you remember on Parks and Rec when Patton Oswalt did the Star Wars filibuster?
Oh, that's right.
It was the best.
It was but that's because he's Patton Oswalt.
But that's essentially what they're literally sometimes reading recipes. They're reading emails from home like, oh, and then my cousin Jeff sent this. How great.
Let me ask you another question. Can they get up and leave the other people in the room?
Yes. They can take bathroom breaks. They can eat.
No, I mean leave.
No, they don't have to be there at all. The other members of the Senate are not required to sit.
I go, you know what? This guy's reading recipes now, and it's hour four. I'm going to go watch some TV.
I watched my last filibuster was Melly on Scandal. Yes. And that was a good one,
Boy,
too.
Did she have to pee.
She did. Oh, she didn't plan it as good. Yeah.
So anyway, there's your government in action, ladies and gentlemen. It was a lot of fun. Kevin, you missed out, but
Define a lot of fun. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Ask the gays and ask the people. Ask the gays what they think and what they do.
That didn't work out well for him yesterday. Did you see that trending?
No, Donald Trump, no.
It was trending all day yesterday on Twitter.
The gays had a lot of responses to being asked.
I'm sure. All right. This morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we have Dr. Drew coming in studio.
Oh, fun.
Wow.
Very excited about that. He's usually on the phone, but he's coming.
Allie, did you get your hair did? And
I didn't. I just actually
he was coming
went,
in?
Oh, no.
She didn't get her hair did.
No, right. I actually didn't even brush it. Sorry, Drew.
We're gonna
would have had a chance had I brushed it.
Yes, you would have. We're going to talk to a guy who runs, and this is a real guy, who runs the Timber Lounge. And this is a place, I think it's in Nova Scotia?
Yeah, it's in Canada.
It's a bar where they have axe throwing. Like darts, but with an axe. At a bar where people are drinking. Does that seem good?
Seems like a great idea.
Seems great to me as well. Yes. No?
No.
No. No. Seems bad. You have the grossest job in the world.
Yeah.
We're going to take your calls today. I wasn't talking to you specifically. Okay. We're going to talk to Brad Meltzer, who is the author of a book called The House of Secrets. He also is a consultant for the Secret Service and for the CIA.
Mm. So fascinating guy.
Yeah,
smart guy.
So when they have questions, they bring this guy in.
Whoa.
It's going to be like matter and antimatter with me in the same room with him. This is going to be crazy. Also on the program today, Jim Rome. We're going to talk about Magic Johnson. We're going to talk about that baseball player that showed up 500 pounds overweight. Or football player, I'm sorry.
Well, baseball player did too.
Well, baseball players always do.
That's all right. It's a whole nice thing.
Baseball, you don't have to be in shape.
I know.
And there's a 9-year-old who swam to Alcatraz and back.
Mm-hmm. Why?
His dad gave him $100. That's why. But remember, my entire childhood, everybody said, hey, Alcatraz is out there and nobody has ever escaped because it's impossible to swim to the land from the island. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. This kid went both ways in less than 2 hours. So we're going to tell him, hey, why don't you back off? Step down. You're making us all look bad.
I don't think that's what we're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
We're mad at him?
Yeah, I'm mad at him. Yes.
Why?
Because what are you doing today that's going to be anywhere near that?
I'll take maybe 2 naps.
He's making you look bad.
I don't care.
He's a 9-year-old.
Well.
Stop it. That's our point. And we'll qualify you also for a chance to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Lollapalooza in Chicago. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat now.
Little unsteady.
Hey!
Sweet.
Very nicely done. That's a good band, by the way.
That is a good band.
That ex-Ambassadors.
Yep.
I think I like every song they do.
Same.
Okay. Hey, Thursday morning, Ali is in for Ralph. Another look at the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
I think you know what's going on, Bean.
Will you tell the rest of us?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. I think I'm all right with it.
Okay.
You know how you look at celebrities, you can see them together and you like them and they seem like a good fit? I approve this message.
Okay. For people that don't know, don't have Google alerts about Taylor Swift.
Right.
Pictures emerged yesterday from a British tabloid called the London Sun. They spotted Taylor Swift and Tom Hiddleston smooching. Hanging out on a beach in Rhode Island, cuddled up, taking selfies, lots of pictures. Interesting, right?
Right.
Ish. All right, cool. She broke up with Calvin Harris
because she was with Calvin Harris
a couple weeks ago, and now she's seeing this guy. that's where the confusion comes in, Kevin, because of the timeline.
Okay.
So apparently, video came out as well from May 2nd at the Met Gala of Taylor Swift and Tom Hiddleston dancing together.
Right.
Having a great time. Calvin and Taylor announced their breakup a month later on June 2nd.
Ew.
Could they possibly have been carrying on this tryst the whole month? Bean?
Bitch got no class.
I don't think that's what we're saying.
It is.
Bean, that was an awful thing for you to
that
say.
That is what we're saying.
That wasn't me. Hey, look, I don't know. I don't know.
I like how Bean jumps on everybody else, but with Taylor,
right?
Let's give her the benefit of the doubt.
Well, I
automatically believe it, whether it's true or not. I'm the other way.
I think you're both wrong
on both
things. So here's the deal. Calvin had posted after their breakup a huge amount of love and respect between them. And then she retweeted it. It's been up there. Okay, they're going to be friends. Everything's fine. He deleted that tweet yesterday.
That did not happen.
It is on. So now people are saying he feels betrayed. He's so sad. Who cares? But apparently a lot of people do because it was the talk of the town yesterday.
Here we go. It's on.
It's not a race war.
Race war's on, everybody. It's going down.
Cartman. It's Cartman. Shh. It's not that at all.
I think people are interested when two celebrities get together.
These are two huge celebrities.
Two huge stars, right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. Tom Hiddleston, just in case there are a lot of people who don't know the name, he's Loki from the Thor movies. And he's also the star of The Night Manager, the recent series.
So
he's
great.
In contention to be the next James Bond. A lot of people think he'd be a great choice for James Bond. So he is definitely a hot A-list star right now.
Which brings me to the next conspiracy theory. People think that these are staged photos.
So that
people are like, oh, all a buzz. So it just furthers him into the Bond stratosphere.
Oh, I see. This helps him get the job because there's so much talk about him?
Yes. Bean?
Okay.
Thoughts?
I mean, I don't see...
Did they look staged to you?
Who knows? I mean, they look like it was out of a catalog. It looked like an L.L. Bean photo shoot. But I don't know that this helps him get a role. I mean, he can pretty much get a role on his own merits. Yeah,
he's doing all right.
Here's my question, and I know this is going to offend Bean, but I'm serious.
Okay.
How does Taylor Swift keep getting guys?
I think the fact that she's adorable, extremely talented, super famous, I think those three things can help a lady.
She's adorable, though. I mean, she's so fake. And she always badmouths the guys that she was with. She writes songs
about them.
That's not true,
by the way. Oh, that's not true.
Stop it.
Show me a bad word she said about Calvin Harris, for instance.
Stop it. She will. That'll happen.
She will.
Because
like a diss track?
She's a terrible human being.
A Taylor Swift diss track.
That would be great.
That's what we've been missing.
That's right. We need a rap battle.
How many people checked in with you yesterday, Bean? Making sure everything was okay.
Look, here's the thing. I just want Taylor Swift to be happy.
Sure.
So if she's happy, I'm happy. Good
like,
for her.
Like any teenager.
I just want Calvin Harris to be happy.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I want Tom Hiddleston to
okay.
be happy.
Well, then he needs to change girlfriends.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right. Wow, we are out of time.
A lot of thoughts
that
on
it?
That story.
I apologize. I really apologize.
Telling you, when I start my Taylor Swift podcast, though, we're going to have lots of time to discuss these issues.
Deep dives, absolutely. All of these stars were born today, June 16th. Rapper MC Ren is 47, as opposed to all day Monday, when I said. So apparently today, for sure, go ahead and wish MC Ren a happy 47th. Golfer Phil Mickelson is 46. It says here, also a Bean doppelganger. Do you guys look alike?
Yes,
they do look alike.
So. He is the celebrity I definitely most resemble. Yeah.
All right. Well, happy 46th to him. Actor John Cho is 44. Missy Pilgrim is 34. Comedian Adam Ray is 34. And holy huge news from him yesterday. He's now one of the Mad TV cast members.
That's pretty cool.
That is huge. Actress Abby Elliott is 29. And our buddy Petros Papadakis is turning.
No way.
Yes.
The
turning
P.
39.
Yay!
Oh, kids love him. He's turning 39 today. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
How about spending an August weekend in Chicago seeing hundreds of bands in Lollapalooza, including our friends in the Red Hot Chili Peppers? We'll give you a chance to qualify for that grand prize trip at 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Doing that all week long, and then Monday, we might call you and tell you you've won the trip. So go to K-Rock.com for all the details.
I'd like to introduce you to my new friend, Big Chocolate.
Big Chocolate.
Big Wait, Chocolate.
Your friend.
It's my new friend.
Okay.
He's been calling the Afro line, and Omar has just been saving them, and now I would like to present for you, so that he could be your friend as well, Big Chocolate, a.k.a. The Toe Sucker.
I'm sorry?
Big Chocolate,
uh-huh.
a.k.a. The Toe Sucker.
The Toe Sucker.
Yo, yo, Big Chocolate, a.k.a. The Toe Sucker. Right, I'm a toe sucker for hire if you so desire. So, yo, Kevin and Bean, talking to a friend of y'all, she tells me how both y'all, Kevin and Bean, you nasty bastards, got toe jam between your toes. Wash your damn feet. All right? Bring a brother along. Give a brother a holler. I'll give you a dollar.
I'm sorry. I believe he's the toe sucker.
Sucker, right.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Did I say ER? Because
you
that's
did, and now I don't know who to believe.
Sucker.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Let me understand.
Yes.
He wants to see us wash our feet? That's what he's asking?
I'm not positive.
Bring a brother along? He wants to witness that?
All I know is give a brother a holla, get a dollar.
Okay.
So, I mean, we can make some money on this if we play it right. So you think, okay, that guy's weird, and he called once, and I don't know what that's about.
It's over.
He called back, and he has an idea for a toe sucker day.
Like a holiday?
Sort of, okay. that we would promote, and then we would all engage in this activity. Ooh. Here's Big Chocolate.
Yeah, Big Chocolate. Big Chocolate, a.k.a. the toe sucker. So listen, this is what we're going to have, people. We're going to have a toe sucking day at K-Rock. Understand what I'm trying to say? I'm going to show you white guys in L.A. how to suck a woman's toes.
Now, do we need a toe suck a day?
No, we don't.
Well, let's hear him out.
Okay.
You white guys, you rock and roll guys, y'all don't know how to suck a woman's toes. Right? You don't know how to suck a lady's toes. You put a lot of things in your mouth, but you don't put enough toes in your mouth. All right?
How? I have a question for Big Chocolate, a.k.a. Toe Sucker. How does he know?
I think he's been monitoring you.
How does he know that we put a lot of stuff in our mouths but not enough toes?
Bean? And I have a question. Yeah. I don't know the answer to that. But I want to know how much of this we have to hear.
Are you kidding?
He's doing a service,
Bean. He's helping us out.
He wants to help out you white rock guys.
Right?
Right?
Is this a phone call for him because it's turning him on to talk about toe sucking? Is that what's happening?
Oh, I didn't.
Is
think
he phone
of that.
Sexing us right
no,
now?
No. I think
really?
He's
no.
a giver. He's
yeah,
trying
think,
to help.
I think that's okay. what's happening, Kevin.
More thoughts on a toe suck a day.
Get Kevin and Bean. We get a couple of guys from the community, a couple of white guys. And if Kevin and Bean are nice enough to bring a brother out there, and me, toe suck a vibe if you so desire. And I will show you all how to suck a lady's toes. Toe sucking day at K-Rock. Coming 2016.
All right, so it's this year.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, good. Now, I heard him mention that we were going to bring in a lot of guys.
Yeah, from the community.
In this particular one, there was no girls mentioned except for how to suck a girl's toes.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to need a lady.
There weren't going to be any ladies involved the way he was planning it.
I think it's just at the initial stages of planning.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now that there's going to be a toe suck a day at K-Rock,
sure.
He thinks that people are going to call him and he wants for a job and he wants us to give him a good reference.
Okay. Like after we see what he can do, can we then refer clients?
And by clients, he means Interscope Records.
Yeah, hey, Kevin and Bean, it's Big Chocolate, the toe sucker. Listen, man. You may get a call from Interscope Records, so rock and roll, R&B, hip-hop. So if they call you for a reference, just give a brother a good report. All right? Say good things about me.
What?
Okay. Now
happening.
I'm really confused.
How are we supposed to say good things about him? All we've heard is his idea for a toe suck a day.
Well, maybe is Interscope calling about that? Like maybe they have
a toe suck a project?
Sure. I mean, it's just not. I'm trying to follow, toe sucker. Why are they calling?
We have to say good things. If they do call, though, I think he's asking if we'll say good things about him. So can we all be counted on for that?
I feel like I'm going to need more.
Okay.
From him.
Bean?
I don't think I'm quite ready. I'm not sure I'm quite ready to endorse him based on how little I know about Mr. Toe Sucka.
Okay. One last idea. What if there was a Toe Sucka cartoon?
Okay.
Yo, yo, Big Chocolate, a.k.a. the Toe Sucka. Maybe we can even have some cartoon figures, Kevin and Bean, and you know, we can all do the first episode together on Comedy Central, right? K-Rock, Comedy Central, you know what I'm saying? So let's try and help each other. Hi.
Well, so, he does have a lot of good ideas.
So is Comedy Central going to call now for a reference?
I don't know. All I heard was Interscope. I would like to ask you guys about the last word of his call. Hi. I'm going to replay it.
Let's try and help each other. Hi.
it's an odd way to end a call.
Who says hi?
More I. Like.
Oh, I?
I
oh, maybe so.
Yeah,
oh,
let's listen again.
Because I went in and I asked Omar, did you edit that? And he said, no, you speak Mr. Chocolate.
What's his name?
Chocolate Big
Thunder?
Chocolate.
Big Chocolate. Yes.
Big Chocolate. A.K.A.
Chocolate Thunder.
Let's try and help each other. Hi.
I think it's I. Hi. But he started,
It felt like he just said hi.
It sounded like it. Here's the thing, Chocolate Thunder. We're going to need
Big
you
chocolate,
to announce Big Chocolate.
A.K.A. Toe Sucka.
A.K.A. Toe Sucka. Maybe announce more, because we shouldn't be concentrating on that. We should be concentrating on all the other things.
So
but now
if
we're trying
we can't
to
understand
decipher.
What he's saying,
yeah,
what
come
are we
on.
Supposed to tell Interscope Records
that's
when they
what,
call?
That's my point. So, I... You're awful at clapping.
What? I thought the Hands of Fury clap along was just yesterday.
I thought they
it's
broke up.
Clap along. It's a band.
Okay. It's not though.
It's but it's a band.
But stop it. But don't.
Okay.
It's not for you.
Hey,
I don't know about you, Kevin. I love Canada, and I've been to a lot of Canada, but I've never made it as far north and as far east as I want to. I've not yet been to Halifax. I haven't been to Nova Scotia. I haven't been to Prince Edward Island. I haven't been to Newfoundland. I want to
come
do all
on,
of
Bean.
That one day.
Get with
I know.
It.
Get with
I do,
it.
I do have to get it together.
Go, check out Cape Breton. It's a lovely,
I would love to
a
do
lovely
that.
School. It's great
I've
time.
Seen a lot of pictures. It looks like a beautiful, beautiful part of the country, and I'd love to do that. But I will tell you that I already have one place I know I'm going, and that is in Halifax. I'm going to the Timber Lounge, because how often does a guy like me get a chance to hurl an axe through the air? Who's with me?
Not for you to hurl it.
Here's
but...
the thing. Of yes. all the people in the world, mm-hmm. maybe you would be, I'd say, dead last, as the
I
person
to...
that we want with an axe in your hand.
Yes.
Right. But at the Timber Lounge in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Kevin, you were invited to unleash your inner lumberjack, and
right.
that's what I'm all about.
But you don't have an inner lumberjack.
Let's talk to the founder of the Timber Lounge and the Lumberjack Experience. A world champion log roller joins us on the phone, Darren Hudson. Hey, Darren, how you doing, man?
Oh, yes, I'm doing excellent, my friend.
He just said excellent.
He did?
Yes, he did.
See?
Now, before we get into axe talk, what do you mean by being a world champion log roller? What are your credentials to earn that title?
Log rolling on a river comprises of two people on the same stick of wood, raised turn log, trying to spin each other off. You can't touch each other. You got to use your footwork to maneuver them off that stick of wood.
Okay, I've seen that. So it's a giant log in the water, and you're trying to roll it faster or slower so your opponent falls.
Yeah.
And
you're
a champion.
I managed to outwit my opponents on the other end of the log, get them in the drink.
You outwit them?
And got them in the drink.
Okay.
All right. Well. Good. For
we
you.
Need like to learn a lot.
We do. We apparently don't speak Canadian. All right. So if that were all you'd accomplished, I would be impressed. But now I find out that you are also the founder of the Timber Lounge, which has made international headlines because you have axe throwing going on at your place. Is this? Are you the first place to do this, or is this something you've just brought to Halifax, but it existed elsewhere?
Axe throwing's been around for eons, of course, but axe throwing clubs have also been around in various places around the world, but we are the first indoor licensed indoor axe throwing facility in the world.
Okay.
That's
do
what
you
we are. Yeah.
And do
we,
you
we have a beautiful spot.
Okay. And do you sell alcohol?
We make sure that our patrons can celebrate the moment with craft beer and Nova Scotia wine.
I'm in.
I'm in, too.
What could go wrong?
We are hopping a flight.
If somebody in Southern California is found with an axe, they are arrested immediately.
Yes. Yes.
You make it sound like this is just an average thing.
Oh, yeah. No, like, our patrons have an extraordinary time.
All right. Okay. All right. All right,
right, Darren. It's a lot of solid wood furniture, and it's a privilege to do share our world with people so that they can have the opportunity to be a lumberjack for the day.
But, Kevin, let me ask you this. How
different... Why don't you ax him?
All right, let me ask you this, Kevin.
How
different, Kevin, for you is you accept people throwing darts in bars.
Yes.
And you can obviously put a guy's eye out. I mean, this is just a little bigger instrument, but it's
not
the same
a little
concept.
Bigger. Have you seen it's full size? It's
no,
not,
I know.
It's not
it's
like
an axe.
It's not like a hammer size.
Yeah.
Like a little, well, I don't even know what you call that, hatchet. But it's
sure.
a full size axe.
Right.
Yeah.
The difference is, worst case scenario, you put an eye out. Worst case scenario, dead. that seems like that's maybe a little more extreme.
Oh, no. Oh, totally. You guys are barking up the wrong tree.
He's got all the wood puns.
I'm looking at Kevin getting more and more irate. Here's the thing, Darren. The puns are great for Bean and Allie. Kevin is losing his mind right now.
I'm not a fan
now.
Of puns.
How dare you?
However, you do seem to be a professional, so I'll allow it.
So, Darren, I'm very surprised by something I saw you say in an interview the other day, which is that you have had multiple people who have thrown a bullseye with an axe the first time they ever threw it. How do you explain that?
Will of man. That's how I explain it. People can do extraordinary things in a social setting while being put on the spot to achieve. That's,
I guess so.
We've had 20 people do it. It's incredible.
I once put a piece of uncooked spaghetti in my mouth, and a man threw an axe and went through the spaghetti and hit a bullseye. How great is that?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Did that happen?
Well, that happened. Okay. It happened. I did it during a TV segment.
Yeah. It's very impressive and incredibly stupid.
I'm not smart, but I have full faith in that guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going off my noodle right now. There's no way that I would execute a maneuver like that.
Right? Because that's straight insane.
Yeah, it is.
So I had an apple in my mouth, and a guy with a chainsaw carved a K in it.
That's just not true.
That did happen.
That happened, actually, yeah.
It did.
So, Darren, you don't allow anybody to knock an apple off somebody's head with an axe or anything silly like that, right?
No. I asked him to let him in to do one time. He said no, and I'm done with that. So,
okay.
We do allow people to put pictures of their bosses on the target, and we call it good with that.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
And do you have, leagues and stuff like that? Like, people have dart leagues. Are there axe leagues?
Oh, axe league night is just off the hook. You want to see the place. There's hooting and hollering and dancing. All these people who, sign up for the league, get to meet each other, go through this six-week session, and come out of this with an experience of a lifetime that they're going to remember forever.
Honestly, I feel... I'm sorry, Bean, but I've seen... I feel like we need to have a team.
I feel like, A, we need a team, and B, I need to go to Nova Scotia and just see, bearded dudes drinking beer,
throwing axes.
I am so turned on right now, Darren.
Yeah. Women love to throw the axe. It is so, and it's beautiful to watch because they're apprehensive, they're unsure, they stick that axe in the target, and wow, they change immediately. It is phenomenal.
It's
all right. When you say they're unsure, I'm assuming that you don't have to have some kind of experience. Do you have somebody there that will train them?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, we go all out in our group bookings to make sure that everybody, gets the full package. We go through the safety talk, then we do the training session before we lead into the one-on-one, and then a little fun group tournament where we do a round robin and champions throw at the end. So,
do people wear helmets?
Just you?
Yeah. No, the full
body suit.
Armor,
yeah.
Chainmail. No, axe throwing is actually the safest lumberjack sport there is.
I've said that for years.
Hold on.
I've said that for years.
What is more dangerous than axe throwing?
Oh, I love this one. I love this one. Apparently, going to the beach is more dangerous than axe throwing, right?
What does that even mean? This sounds like a made-up stat you're about to give us.
No. And if you've ever heard of Page's Cove, Nova Scotia, one person a year gets swept off the rocks while taking a picture of a big oncoming wave. And,
those people are stupid.
Darwinism.
People are getting eaten by alligators at Walt Disney. So nothing is.
Well, that does happen, yeah.
Yeah, we hold your hand the whole time to ensure, you know, there's no accident.
All right. I am convinced now that axe throwing is the safest sport in America. So you've done your work here, Darren.
I'm convinced we need a team and we need to compete. Now, can we bring an out-of-country team and just join a league? Or is there a championship or we could go right to?
I think this would be an opportunity for you guys to extend your presence here in Canada. Drop on into the Timber Lounge. And that would be right up our alley, and Kevin and B.
And our alley as well.
Yeah.
All right. The Timber Lounge in Halifax, Nova Scotia. You can find them online at timberlounge.ca. Darren Hudson is the founder. Good luck to you, my friend. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. Enjoyed it.
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
They're the worst, and they added a new member.
Yeah, I'm in, guys.
A new member, DJ Omar Khan, is now part of Hands of Fury.
Guys, it doesn't make the song better.
It might even detract, some would say.
Oh, man, you guys don't know.
We're going to have to re-record every song that we play here on K-Rock and add claps. I think we do.
Because people will start requesting
them. Yeah, hey, can we get that Hands of Fury remix? All right.
Right. Yep. Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm in now.
We'll work on that.
Omar, your studio's on fire down the hall. You better go.
I got to go check that. Okay.
There are two types of people in the world. There are people who see another human make an incredible accomplishment, and they go, wow, I'm really impressed. That's great. And then there's Kevin, who says, I don't want anybody to ever do anything good because it somehow reflects poorly on me.
And I don't mind good.
Uh-huh.
But the kid is nine.
He's 9 years old. And he swam to Alcatraz and back, yes.
Right. So the whole rap on Alcatraz, it's our entire lives has been, no one escaped because you can't make the swim from Alcatraz to the land because it's too cold, there's currents, you die. It's an impossibility.
Sharks, the whole deal, right.
Right. This nine-year-old swam from San Francisco to Alcatraz and back in less than 2 hours.
So why aren't you impressed? Why aren't you looking at this kid as a phenomenal
athlete? Because he's making all of us look terrible.
But what he does doesn't have any reflection whatsoever on what you do.
Because then I look at myself and I go, how far could I make it?
Right.
And it would be like, I would injure myself diving into the ocean.
Kevin, I don't think I have to ask this question out loud because we're all thinking it, but what were you doing when you were nine?
Throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Robbie Joyner.
And
okay,
that's what this kid should have been doing. He's nine.
He likes to swim.
Smoke some weed. Set something
nine.
On fire.
No,
set something
don't
on
smoke
fire.
Weed at nine.
Set something on fire. Do something
don't
like
set
the
anything
other 9 year
on
olds
fire.
Do.
Here's a very badly produced and read report from the news in San Francisco yesterday about this event.
Today, a Los Banos boy completed quite the journey. He swam through the San Francisco Bay all the way to Alcatraz and back.
I don't know how he did it, but the 9-year-old is hoping to be the youngest swimmer on record to make the swim. Currently, the title is held by a 10-year-old, and right now, KC24's Janelle Bluda is lucky because she's live in San Francisco. She's been following his journey since the beginning. Good morning, Janelle.
The previous record, again, was held by a 10-year-old
who probably thought, I'm 10. I've got this record locked in for a long time.
How did this become a thing that we throw little kids into the San Francisco Bay, by the way?
Oh, I think that's always been a thing. Yeah.
I didn't realize that. All right, let's hear what Janelle has to say. I think at some point she's with the kid.
Good morning, George. Lucky is definitely the word to use here. It's been an emotional day out here, but it wrapped up with smiles and cheers right here on this shore as James walked on after hours in the ocean. Now, James started that swim at 7 o'clock this morning. It took him a little over 2 hours to complete it. But it wasn't all fun and games. James did struggle for a bit out in the open water about 30 minutes into swim. He says the waves were hitting him and the current was too strong, making it difficult for him to fight them.
Really? So it wasn't easy? It wasn't simple?
It wasn't easy.
Yeah. Right. So at some
you're
point in
so
this,
mad at this
some
child.
Point in this swim, he had to try.
You're so angry.
What? You kid. You kid. You kid.
So let me ask you this, Kevin. I want to ask about the dad in this story. Because this it's not like the dad just waved the kid goodbye and patted him on the head and said, all right, see you in a couple of hours, son. The dad is next to the kid swimming. The dad is in a boat following along with the journey to keep an eye on his boy, okay?
Right.
At some point, the kid started really having trouble, getting hit in the face with the water and going under.
Really?
And really
it was difficult
struggling.
For him to swim to Alcatraz and back?
So what's your read on the dad who ups the $100 that he had promised his kid? Keep swimming, kid. I'll give you an extra $100. I'll throw in another hundy. So now it's up to $200. Is the dad doing the right thing by inspiring this kid? Or do you think at that point the dad should be, what am I doing? Making my 9-year-old swim to Alcatraz and pull him out of the water.
You, dad. You, dad. You, dad.
The dad offers him $100 to do something that maybe no one else in the world can do.
It does seem a little chilly,
like,
doesn't it?
Up that
a bit.
Yeah.
The kid is fighting possibly sharks, which that father is going to be able to do nothing about in his little dinghy with his little
Don't disparage his dinghy.
No, I'm saying, you don't know.
You don't
what,
know,
they
interview
his ex-wife?
It's cold.
What did you hear? All right, let's go back to Janelle.
But in the end, with help from his coach and a promise from his dad, James found his second wind and was off.
When I wanted to turn back, they kept on going, I believe in you, you could do it.
He's like, I believe in you, you can do it.
Words of inspiration. I'm sorry, I thought he said, they said, I'm leaving you.
No. I believe in you.
I'm pretty sure he
said,
I'm leaving you.
I don't think he said that.
I think that's what he said.
All right,
I don't.
Let me disagree.
Okay.
Let me go back. He's 9 and he's very cold, so I think it's tough for him to talk.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I'm going, I believe in you, you can do it.
Yeah, it's I believe in you.
I believe in you. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And we kind of pushed each other on. I finally got him going. We touched the rock. We turned around, and it was just smooth sailing all the way back home. No trouble at all. So,
well, James's dad had told him that he would give him $100 if James completed the swim today. But while out on that water, you know, when the current got a little bit rough, his dad told him he'd add on another $100. And James says that is what got him going again. He says his next goal is to swim the length of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Dad, I don't think I'm going to make it. Another hundy.
I'm in.
I mean.
Come on. So now he's going to swim the length of the Golden Gate Bridge. Is that an F you to the whole family?
You kidding, Dad. You kidding, Dad. You kidding, Dad.
Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
We're going to talk sports with our friend Jim Rome at 8 o'clock like we do on Thursdays. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us on the program later on today. And a very smart author, Brad Meltzer, is going to be joining us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour. This guy is right in your wheelhouse, Kevin.
Right?
This guy knows and writes about all the stuff you and I both love. So
correct.
He is going to be fascinating. That's coming up. First, though, in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Allie.
Hey, you guys. CBS will be the network for the Grammy Awards through 2026.
Wow.
Thanks to a new deal with the Recording Academy. I didn't say anything about who's going to host it.
Oh, that's
why
you're making that noise?
Saying.
But we know who CBS likes, don't we?
We sure do.
The choice they've made the last few years, don't we?
My immediate thought when it was extended through 2026, oh, God, there's going to be a lot of lick-lippin'. There it is.
Oh, man.
Forget the licking. Forget the fact how horrible it is to watch that man lick his lips for 3 hours.
And for people that don't know, he's talking about LL Cool J.
LL Cool J, right? Yeah. Who does nothing but he's like a freaking lizard on my TV. Okay, even if you forget that, he's a terrible host.
He's hot.
He's terrible.
He's hot.
He doesn't do anything interesting. He can't read.
Remember,
not funny. He doesn't do. Look at all of the great people that host other shows.
When I'm alone in my room, sometimes I stare at the wall.
I don't have any problem with him as a rapper.
I hear my conscience call.
He's fine.
Remember
he's fine
that
as
rap?
An artist.
Being saying, let him rap.
I'm saying let him rap. Exactly. Allie, we live in a world where there are people like James Corden, there are people like Absolutely. Jimmy Kimmel, and there are people like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, and there are people like Ricky Gervais, and the list goes on and on and on and on.
Does he really play a huge role in the Grammys? He gets up there, says something at the beginning, then he's basically gone.
They have
the show.
Pretty much eliminated that position
Absolutely.
For the most part. Yeah, he does very
Wasted
little.
Wasted opportunity, though. Wasted opportunity, because you know what? You put Andy Samberg in there, and he can mm-hmm. be on screen just as much, but make it far more entertaining when he is.
So you love him.
I love how angry it makes you.
Terrible. I'm furious about this.
You really are. It's magic. Well, something that will please you, at least it pleases me because it's one of my favorite things to watch. Jerry Seinfeld's Comedian in Cars Getting Coffee returns to Cackle today. If you haven't watched it. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Clap all you can because it's amazing. Basically, Jerry takes one of his zillion different cars and he drives to a comic's house or hotel or whatever, picks him up. They have a great conversation in the car and then they go and get coffee, chat a little more. They talk about the car a little bit. And it's such a great show. And if you haven't seen it, they're all online. Just go to Cackle. My favorite, season one. Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner. He lived my dream. He hung out with both of them and watched Jeopardy. He went and got soup and deli sandwiches.
Wait, he got
and they,
soup?
And yes, that's what I'm saying. And he hung out with Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner. And they had those TV trays. And they, oh, that is the best life.
He had President Obama on last season.
He had everybody Mel from... Brooks and Carl
right.
Reiner.
I know, I got that. But I'm saying beyond that, he did
soup.
Will Ferrell and Gary Shandling and Steve Martin. But who's on this year? Have they revealed
who's? They absolutely have. This season's guests will include Saturday Night Live's producer Lorne Michaels, Last Week Tonight host John Oliver. So in for that.
Awesome.
Director Judd Apatow and stand-up comics like Jim Gaffigan and J.B. Smoove.
Flavor Flav!
He's not on this list.
I would like to see that, though.
Same.
Wouldn't be bad.
No, it's a great show. It really is fun.
One of the best, too, was Julia Louis-Dreyfus when he went and picked her up. It's so good.
I love the Letterman episode, too. That
Letterman
was
great. Let's talk about who else we love.
It's entertaining for the rest of us.
Is that?
Not really.
Oh, okay. But Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner. Start with that one.
Right. Yeah, you mentioned that, actually.
Did I?
Soup.
Okay. Yes.
Had soup.
And they watched Jeopardy.
Right.
So good. Wow, that was very
Why
aggressive.
Do some people tune out?
That's a good question, Jiminy.
This was weird news, but people are very excited. It is now confirmed. Dame Helen Mirren has been added to the cast of the Fast and Furious sequel, Fast 8. Is that a thing? Where Helen...
I mean...
You did
How
not take
dare
away the
you,
bell
first of
for
all.
Helen
take
Mirren.
It away every time.
You
Beautiful
not,
woman.
Take it away
every
not.
Time.
I swear to God,
every
I'll come
time.
Over there. I will
this
beat
is
you
not,
senseless.
This is not a bell for 50 years ago.
Dame Helen Mirren
woman.
Is hot.
She really is.
She, Kevin.
She really is.
You're wrong on this. You're wrong. Say you're
look,
wrong.
I'm not wrong.
Say it.
These Fast and Furious movies.
You're a dick.
Seem to be a thing.
That I'll say. I'm a dick.
They are.
Charlize Theron is in this one, too,
she
right?
She is. Charlize Theron is in it. Ronda Rousey has just been added as well. So they're going to join, obviously, Vin Diesel, Michelle Rodriguez, Dwayne Johnson, Tyrese Gibson, Kurt Russell, Jason Statham, Eva Mendes, all the regular ones. But, I mean, Helen Mirren and Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Those are Academy Award-winning actresses.
They are.
So Helen Mirren is going to be playing a villain.
Huh?
You like those villains, Kevin.
Yeah.
What is your problem with Helen Mirren?
We don't have time.
I don't have time.
Kevin's problem
crap.
Is that there is an age at which, after which, no woman can be beautiful.
She used to be smoking hot. She's still a funny, great actress. That's it.
She's a beautiful woman.
That's all.
I hate you so much.
A lot of people hate me.
Kevin, okay. God damn it.
It's all right.
I don't hate you.
I've come to enjoy it.
Come here, Kevin.
Walk on.
Walk on, Kevin. That is true. All of these stars are celebrating a birthday today, June 16th. Rapper MC Ren is 47 years old. Beans doppelganger, golfer Phil Mickelson is 46. Actor John Cho is 44. Abby Elliott is 29. And our friends Adam Ray is 34, and our friend Petros Papadakis, 39 today. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Crumman, walking the showbiz beat.
This is going to be like matter and antimatter, seeing Brad and Kevin talk today. I'm really excited about this. Kevin, you have for so many years said reading is for losers.
Right,
our guest, Brad Meltzer, New York Times bestselling author, has sold over 11 million books. So who could be more opposite than you two guys?
Yeah.
This is awesome. His latest is called House of Secrets. It just came out on Tuesday, and you can meet Mr. Meltzer tonight at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show, sir. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. First of all, I also want to say, Kevin, that also kind of makes you my son. My son said to me, you know, Dad, I hate to read. And I was like, you do know what I do for a living, right? You do know what feeds you. So I really appreciate that.
I don't
that.
Think I would have said that to my dad if he was an author.
But no one's impressed by their dad. You're not supposed to be, right?
Right?
Like
exactly.
That, I accept
you're
it. It's like I get it. Dad. I'm the cobbler's. He's the cobbler's son.
Exactly.
You cobble too?
I cobble. Yeah, listen, that's what we all do. Yes, yeah.
We all carve.
Now, I did read 11 chapters, which for me is sort of
that's a miracle.
That's
good.
Sort of like reading like 11 books for most people. It's sort of the equivalent. But how – I'm just going to say this, that the book – is centered around, for at least the part I read, the Bible formerly owned by Benedict Arnold.
It is. You want me to do a quick second?
Please.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So basically, the book opens up with a woman who wakes up in the hospital, and she's got no memory, as you saw. And she finds out there's been an accident that's killed her father, who's the host of a conspiracy TV show. Now, the FBI tells her the last person seen with her dad is also found dead, but there's an object stuffed into his body. As you said, it's a priceless book that belonged to Benedict Arnold.
Ew, stuffed in his body?
I know. Isn't that gross? Oh. I know. That's why my wife is like, I'm not sleeping with you tonight. Because, like, that's just disgusting
to me. He sort of put it, like, under the sternum, like, right in the chest?
Yeah, covered in wax. So
that's
like,
not an accident.
Not an accident, right?
Not an accident.
Truly, the height of investigations right there.
Bible and wax at the same time.
And basically, she has to figure, you know, she has no memory, so she goes to her house. She doesn't know. She finds scars on her body. Doesn't know how they got there. Fights that she was into, she doesn't remember. And she realizes only by solving the murder can she figure out what happened to her dad and, more important, who she is. And then she's the mystery. But as you said, the fun to me is the Benedict Arnold part. So yeah, I became obsessed with this stuff.
Is that a real thing?
So here's the thing. So the last moments between George Washington and Benedict Arnold are some of the most heartbreaking in U.S. history. And they say when Benedict Arnold – because they were friends. They were like BFFs. They had the beef fry and the Sten's charm too.
They did,
which
sweet.
Was nice.
Aww.
And when they betrayed him, they say it's one of the only times that George Washington has ever seen crying. Which that image I couldn't shake, and that's true. And here's the true part also, is in the last moments after the betrayal, Alexander Hamilton delivers a letter, not in song or rap, but delivers a letter, right, that comes from...
It's a shame.
It is a shame, really. He could have been ahead of his time. but comes from Benedict Arnold to George Washington.
That's also true.
This is true. The letter that you read about asks for three things. One, he says, don't kill my wife because she didn't know I was a traitor. Two, don't kill the staff. They didn't know I was a traitor. And three, in one of the craziest moments of letter writing history, he said, I mean, truly,
is
he
that
says,
a thing?
I think there is SSS. A letter writing history. There's a class somewhere.
Did he write SSS?
No,
sorry, so sloppy?
No, he said KIT, keep in touch.
Keep in touch.
Yeah, so, but he says to him, you had the same yearbook I had. He says to Benedict Arnold, says, hey, do me a favor. Can you please send me back my belongings and my clothing? The guy just put a knife in the back of
you.
George Washington, and he basically wants his stuff back, right?
Yeah.
It's like he's like the relationship where he's like, give me my record collection back.
So that's odd, and that gets you to start to think about
what could
really have happened.
But here's the key question. This is also true. To this day, George Washington sends it back, but to this day, nobody knows what is in that belongings, in those belongings that George Washington sent back to Benedict
Arnold. Why would he send them back?
That's the question, right? I mean, if you think about it, he spends the rest of the war trying to hunt and kill Benedict Arnold. You're like, why is he sending it back? And the theory in the book is Benedict Arnold actually the triple agent who's working for us? And I won't ruin the end of the book, but that question is what motivated me. And then we started going, okay, is it a book? Is, you know, what's in there? You know, because if he was a normal guy, you'd say, you know, he'd light it on fire. He'd put lice in it. He wouldn't send anything back unless it was filled with, you know, horrible things. But to me, I love filling my thrillers, even though it's a mystery, with real history, and that's
so. Was it when you learned about that chapter, or maybe you knew it for years and had just been sitting on it? That's what you built the rest of the book about around.
Yeah, so I wrote this with my friend Todd Goldberg, and basically we kind of got together and brainstormed different things it could be. But I couldn't shake that idea for 5 years, and in fact, it was 8 years since I got involved with Benedict Arnold. I went to the National Archives, and they take me to the what they call the treasure vault. They're like, you want to go to the treasure vault? When somebody at the National Archives says you want to go to the treasure vault,
when somebody anywhere says that,
right. You could be in like,
well, maybe not anywhere, Kevin.
Anywhere.
I think Walmart, anywhere. I think the treasure vault is always going to be good. Like, whatever it's Target, it's all going to be good. And so I'm like, let's go to the treasure vault. So they take me in the back, and
was Nicolas Cage in there trying to steal some stuff?
Can I tell you something that's insane? If you go to the National Archives, you know what the number one question asked of the security guards and the staff is there really a treasure map on the back of the Declaration of Independence?
Really?
That's the number one question. And here, that's what sad country we live in. But here's the truth. You know what is on the back of the Declaration of Independence? And I promise this is true, and you can see it. If you go to the National Archives, there's a handprint on the bottom right-hand corner. You can actually see it. And nobody knows whose handprint it is. And take that, Nicolas Cage.
Okay.
Wow. Right. So anyway, so they take me to the treasure vault.
That was sort of a burn.
That's a takeaway. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if you can really burn anyone with history.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. I mean, you're kind of burning yourself when you're
the one that said take that. Right.
So back to the treasure vault. So the treasure vault, they hand me the sheet of paper, and it was from the Revolutionary War, and it's called an oath of allegiance. And George Washington used to line up his top military guys and say to them, I need you to swear that solemnly swear. And that's what it says. I do solemnly swear. You sign your name on the bottom that I will never betray the country. And we still do it today. When you enlist in the army, you raise your right hand. You say, I solemnly swear I'm going to be loyal to the country.
I'm fighting for our side.
That's right. And they're all numbered. 1, 2, 3, 4 in the corner. They have little numbers. And mine is numbered 5. So top guy, fifth guy that George Washington has sign it. It's signed by Benedict Arnold. And in that moment, Benedict Arnold isn't some like curse word you call someone. He's basically a real guy. He's a decorated military guy who on this day put pen to this paper and swore he'd forever be our guy. And to me, I couldn't shake that for like a decade because I was like, is he good? He risked his life for our country. Is he bad? He did a bad thing. Or is he just complicated? And that's what Hazel in the book is, right? She's this woman who's investigating her own life. And she's realizing, maybe she wasn't a good person. Is she a bad person or is she just complicated? And that's what all of us are. So it takes like years for us to get to that theme. And Todd and I work really hard to try and figure out the theme so we're not just making it up.
Is it depressing to you that when Bean asked me what the book was about yesterday, I said Benedict Arnold and Abraham Lincoln? Does that
That's going to be the most awesome fist fight of all time, by the way. If I could see any cage match, it might just be.
Bean said, I don't think that works in the actual timeline.
Yeah, I don't think he was alive for Lincoln.
Do not let that stop you. I think that is going to be.
Kevin. So follow that? Yeah.
I say go with it. Okay. Run with it. Don't pump the brakes.
All right,
just
good.
Hit the gas.
I like this the voice of author Brad Meltzer here at the Kevin Bean Show. He and his co-author, Todd Goldberg, are going to be tonight at the Grove Barnes and Noble's location at around 7 o'clock or so, signing copies of the book and doing a discussion. Hey, before we take a break, Brad, and come back and talk about all the other fascinating things going on in your life, short version, why did Benedict Arnold betray the country?
You know why? For the most, because he's selfish. He basically was like, I should have got promoted more. I should have got more stuff. My son asked me that, and I was like, because people sometimes are just selfish. And that's what's so human. Benedict Arnold, when we looked at these stories, it's not a story of some old guy. It's a story of us. And we're all good, and we're all bad, and we're all complicated. And we all have some George Washington in us. We all have some Benedict Arnold in us. And, we're all brave, and we're cowards, and we're bold, and we're daring, and we're terrified. And some of us all on the same day. And some of us all in the same hour, depending on when you catch us. And so his story is our story.
But dudes,
so this isn't that much different.
But yeah, I mean, right? Especially. Yes. Always.
Come
always.
On.
So when I say we, I mean
I know.
Dudes.
I know.
So this is kind of like a guy who's working a job at a company and he doesn't feel like he's appreciated. So he gets the opportunity to make a little extra on the side selling secrets to the competition.
Yeah,
it's espionage.
I do like a few of the guesses that you have, though, about like, oh, Benedict Arnold was actually helping George Washington hide another kid or something like
that. Well, that's the thing is and those theories
could be true.
And the crazy part is, so I'm making those up and we're kind of coming up with all these different ideas and Todd and I are, trying to figure it out. But then what you do is you go back and you realize there are people with whole books and theories on this. And I'm like, we made that up. And they're like, you didn't make up anything. Like, that's our theory. Like, Benedict Arnold was a good guy. And you're like, holy cow. So whatever you make up, your George Washington, your Abraham Lincoln, Benedict Arnold fight is someone's theory, man. There's a whole book on that.
That actually happened. I was right.
All right. The book is called House of Secrets, available everywhere right now. Our guest is author Brad Meltzer. More in a moment right after this on K-Rock. Number one, New York Times bestselling author Brad Meltzer in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, you never get hired of hearing that, I bet, Brad. That's pretty sweet, right?
You know, that's what I say. My wife, I say, honey, what are we having for number one selling author Brad Meltzer's dinner tonight? Because yesterday we had Brad Meltzer's chicken. Tonight I'd like to have Brad Meltzer's pasta. And she's like, you can go sleep on Brad Meltzer's couch.
The book is called House of Secrets. It's available everywhere books are sold. You can meet Brad along with his co-author tonight at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove for autographs and reading. Now, during the song, Brad, you brought up that you know Ralph through comic books. Explain that connection to me.
You know, the nerd universe is small, my friend. But the truth is years and years ago, a decade ago, only two people worked in comics that were not comic book writers. One was Kevin Smith, and the other was me. Because what happened was when Kevin was on Green Arrow, God bless him, he was leaving the book. It was DC Comics' number one book because Kevin was on it. And they basically said, if we take our book, the editor came to me at a book signing, and I've been putting comic book references in all my thrillers for as long as I've been writing them. And they knew I loved comics and was a nerd about it. So they said, if you want, if we put anyone else on the book, they're going to say, well, where's Kevin Smith? But if we take a guy who nobody knows, who they just know in novels, and put him on the book, they'll be like, what does DC Comics know that we don't know? And
interesting.
Basically, they said to me, you're going to fail on a big stage or you're going to succeed on a big stage, and it's up to you. And I was like, I'll take those odds. And nobody wanted to do comics. Now, the funny thing was everyone then, when I said I was doing comics, and comics were just not as cool as they are now, everyone in publishing was like, why are you slumming in comics? I'm like, are you kidding? I love this. This is my favorite place to be. And the best part was all the other authors and novelists out there. I remember doing a panel with Janet Ivanovich and Walter Mosley. And Janet Ivanovich leaned over and she was like, oh, Wonder Woman. And Walter Mosley was like, does Green Arrow still, you know, hang with Speedy? And I was like, oh my gosh, everyone's like, and no one wanted to do it because they were scared. And I was like, I'm in. So I got to do that. I got to do a Justice League of America. I got to make my own Justice League. And listen, I love writing my novels. I love writing my kids' books. But when I get to write Batman and put words in Batman's mouth, I'm wearing my underwear on the outside of my pants that day.
Oh, dear.
Right? Like, that's just awesome.
You don't have
awesome.
Any photos of that, I hope.
Yeah, no. Okay, utility good. Belt, too. Good. So Ralph and I met through that.
How fun to be a writer, though, and to be able to write fiction books, nonfiction books, kids' books, comic books, write for television. I mean, it's a dream, right?
Well, no, but it's what I was saying to Kevin. Like, I have a short attention span. And to me, if you told me, if I said to you, you have to go see, only big thriller movies, big summer movies for the rest of your life, you'd be like, oh, I like big summer movies, but I don't want to see them for the rest of my life. Or I said, only independent art house films. You'd eventually be like, you get sick of that.
Too much of any one thing.
Exactly. Everything in moderation, right, as Ben Franklin said. And so to me, going away from novels or going into kids' books or going into something else makes me come back to it so recharged. Because I remember there was a famous author who said to me once about his own famous, super famous character. He said, if I have to write this character again, I want to put a gun in my mouth. And I was like, I never want to be you. You're 500 times more successful than I'll ever be, but I never want to be you.
You don't want to lose that passion.
Yeah.
That would just
– I mean, Brad, how did you start running in the circles with presidents? How are you at so many events?
A question I ask myself every day. Yeah.
First of all, tell us what presidents you've
– Yeah. So here's the crazy part.
Says, and then what government agencies as well.
Yeah. So one day I get a letter from Bill Clinton saying he likes the books.
Like you do.
Yeah, every day. and then I get one from George H.W. Bush Sr., the dad. And my thought is when I get these, I'm like, oh – and this one asked for like, oh, he likes my books and will you sign a copy? And I thought – this has to be fake, because when I used to work at the Senate Judiciary Committee when I was 18 years old as an intern, we used to take the senator's pen signing machine and the stationery for the Judiciary Committee, and I'd write to my friends and tell them they were being deported. Like, I'd be like,
you do,
and I live in Miami, right? It works there, baby, right? That works. And so I thought, this is totally fake. So I called the office up and I'm like, listen, someone there is using the machine. And they go, oh, you got the president's letter. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's so bored right now if he's writing to me. And
is a little shocking.
It's a little shocking. No, it's not a little. It's a lot shocking.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying that a president is just writing any author saying.
And then you realize, like, what do they have to do, right? And
well, I would think a lot.
Here's the thing. When you leave the presidency, you know what the first thing you do is? They ask you to plan your own funeral. That's
that
what you
right?
do. The first thing you do when you leave the White House,
that's kind of a downer.
And that's exactly like goodbye and plan for your death. Because basically, you imagine for a moment in all of our lives here, imagine that you knew you peaked. that everything you did is going to pale to what this one moment you had in your life. And that's what it is to be a former president. So I became obsessed. And I said to Bush, I said, can I come see what your life is like? And he was like, why don't you come to Houston for the week? I went up to Clinton's office in Harlem. What? I wrote a whole book on what it's like to be a former president because I was obsessed with this idea. And the funniest part is I then got invited to – during W's administration, they invited me to this private lunch at the White House. And Barbara Bush was there, and I remember going in, and this was not in like the downstairs. It was like in the residence upstairs, where you can't go unless you're invited privately. There's no Secret Service up there. It's president, you know, it's family only and friends only. And I go to this tiny little dining room. There can't be like, you know, 15 of us around the table. And of course, I'm like, where do I sit? And there's a little placard right on my plate that says, Mr. Meltzer, the White House. And my first thought is, I'm stealing that like nobody's business. And then Barbara Bush leans over to me and she's like, you know, all the novices, they try to steal their placard. And I'm like, oh, yes, all the novices. Oh. And then quickly I'm like, look, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And then I totally stole that thing faster. I stole that thing faster than anyone in the history of stealing.
Do you think she was trying to talk you out of it or she was taunting you into
it? She knew. The thing was, when it was gone, she looked at me. She was like, I know you took it. You know, she's like, I'm dumb. I'm not stupid. You know, she knows. She's smarter than anyone. So she
says on your Wikipedia page, Brad, and tell me if this is true. Because I can't verify it otherwise.
No, trust it. It's on the internet.
You were part of the entertainment for First Lady, former First Lady Barbara Bush's 90th birthday?
Is that crazy? So here's the thing. So Barbara Bush's people call me up.
Do
and they're
tap
like,
dance?
Right. And, you would think, right? What does a bald Jewish kid do, right? And they say to me, we're going to have four authors come and entertain at Barbara. It was to raise money for literacy. That's what it was all about. It was Democrats and Republicans all come together. No politics about it. She wants to take her 90th birthday and raise money for literacy. She's going to have four authors entertain. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, who'd you get? And she's like, dummy. You. And I was like, okay.
She was calling you just to chat about
it? I literally was just like, you know, taunt me that I'm not picked. You know, right. Like, but the funniest thing was, is we once went, when I did one of the events with the Bushes for literacy, and they have everyone, they have, you know, John Grisham, they have, you name it, they've had Patterson, everybody. So the author who's speaking before me, I'm speaking with myself, another author, and there's a guy, James Bradley, who did Flyboys, the famous movie Flyboys, and Flags of Our Fathers. And the author in front of us, in front of the president, he literally passes out on stage.
Sweet,
now, here's the moment, right? So he starts falling.
Right.
And now this is the moment where you find out in your life, are you made of like gumption or are you made of like Jell-O? And
Are you a hero or not?
James Bradley, who wrote Flags of Our Fathers, jumps up onto the stage and catches the man before he hits the ground.
Hero.
I am next to Barbara Bush. I am next to Barbara Bush. And Barbara Bush looks at me and goes, why don't you go get some help? And I'm like, and I'm like, my mouth is still open. And I go, I'll get the Secret Service, ma'am. Don't worry. And I take off. And I'm like, and you realize in that moment, I'm like, he is the hero and I am a witness.
You're
that is what I am.
Is it possible that you peed yourself a little?
It's not only possible. Okay. The Magic 8-Ball points to yes.
All right. We're running out of time. Can we keep you for another break?
Yeah.
What government agencies
have
you worked for?
So what? This is crazy.
Because this is fascinating.
This is true.
Okay.
I got a call from the Department of Homeland Security asking me to come in and brainstorm different ways that terrorists could attack us.
All right. We'll talk about that later. What else? Who else?
Well, I'll say my first thought is if they're calling me, we have bigger problems than anybody thinks.
That's the issue.
So and then in terms of working and researching, I mean, you name the acronym. I mean, FBI, CIA.
NSA.
Yeah, DIA. I mean.
DVR.
Yeah, DVR.
That's not what we're talking about.
We're not on some sort of a list because we know you now, are we?
100% you are now.
First of all,
the fact that you think you guys weren't already on that list.
I know. That's magic.
That's the delusion.
Brad Meltzer is our guest. The book is out now called The House of Secrets. More in a moment right after this on K-Rock.
I feel like when it's just us, the moments with are funny.
Yeah.
But when we bring in an author who happens to also be incredibly intelligent, he works with the NSA and the CIA and everybody else, I feel like maybe playing moments with for him... It's sort of cruel.
I enjoyed it.
So you have to understand, like, I think if someone takes themselves seriously and has, like, that kind of posh background, like, they get judgmental. Like, I'm the first in my family to go to college at a 4-year school. Like, my parents were always like, if you get C's, they're better than me, Brad. That was, like, the pep talk in my house. And, like, so I had a very, you know, like, that was the best pep talk because it was like, and so I never, ever, like, even when I'm in those moments, like when I met George Bush for the first time, and this is HW the dad, you think everyone's so serious. He spent the first 5 minutes of our time together trying to convince my wife that he invented the phrase, you to man. And I'm like,
that's just not true.
That is, first of all, that's an A-plus joke. That's an A-plus joke. And my wife is like, Brad, you know that he invented the phrase, you to man? I'm like, no, he didn't. He's lying to your face. And Barbara Bush is like, oh, George, leave the poor woman alone.
That's
and I'm like,
magic.
What episode of Laughing are we on? It was fantastic.
That's
and
crazy.
People, like, you'd be surprised. Like, people love to play around. They really do.
This is the voice of best-selling author Brad Meltzer here on The Kevin and Bean Show. House of Secrets is his current book. It is, Kevin says, the first 11 chapters are fantastic.
So far, and I'm still reading it.
Right?
You could. That's the blurb I want from you, by the way. I'm still reading it. Like, that's going to be the best blurb. Kevin, that's going to be it. That's all I want in the back.
You can
I
use
like
it for so many editions.
Yeah.
No. It also might make an outstanding Father's Day gift if you're looking for something to buy for this weekend. You can meet Brad and have him sign it along with his co-author at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove tonight. Brad, I also wanted to mention, just because I'm so fascinated, with we talked about the comic books. We talked about the 11 million books you've already sold. You've also written so many children's books, including biographies for kids of Abraham Lincoln, Rosa Parks, Jackie Robinson, Martin Luther King, on and on and on and on and on. It's crazy. Are those well received by kids? Do kids care about Rosa Parks and Jackie Robinson?
Well, that was the issue for me. Is I finally had kids, and I was tired of my kids looking at reality TV show stars and loudmouth athletes and thinking that that's a hero. And I was like, because of the History Channel TV show I do, because of the thrillers I write, I'm like, I have so many better heroes for them. So if I tell my daughter that Amelia Earhart flew across the Atlantic Ocean, my daughter's like, big deal, Dad, everyone does. Right? Everyone's got a plan
right,
now.
That makes sense.
But if I tell her, and this is a true story, that when Amelia Earhart was 7 years old, she built a homemade roller coaster in her backyard. She took a wooden crate, put roller skating wheels in the bottom, shoved it to the roof of her tool shed, came careening down two giant 2x4s, crashes, tumbles through the air. And that's the first moment Amelia Earhart flew. She said it's the first moment her stomach bottomed out from under her. And she gets up
Why
and
can't
like,
I find that on YouTube?
You can find it, right? And look on Wikipedia, it's there. And so, and basically, if I show that to my daughter says, Dad, she's bold and she's daring and she's fun. And now Amelia Earhart's alive again. So we did.
That's great.
So that's what we did. We show you not just when they're famous, but when they're kids. So you see Abraham Lincoln when he's 10, and we did Rosa Parks, Jackie Robinson, Albert Einstein. I even did I Am Lucille Ball because I wanted my daughter to have a female entertainment hero who isn't just famous for being thin and pretty. I was like, Lucy doesn't just stand for the idea that it's okay to be different. She stands for the idea it's fantastic to be different. And we did Helen Keller, and I put we actually made the pages of the book, when she goes blind, they go perfectly black. And it says, here's how I see the world. Cover your eyes. Here's how I hear the world. And when she learns how to read, we put real Braille into I Am Helen Keller, and it says, feel these dots? My name's Helen. What's your name? And on the opposite page is a real Braille alphabet. And so I love that we get to do these books. We did I Am Martin Luther King Jr. In September we do I Am George Washington and I Am Jane Goodall. And to me, it's not about, hey, we want to sell you a book. It's to help you build a library of real heroes for your kids and your grandkids and your nieces and nephews.
I love you, Brad Meltzer.
I do too.
That was worth it.
No, but that's the thing. It's like I can tell you like that. I'm an idiot to do these books. I should write another thriller. They pay me far more. But these books are my heart in book form. And I was like – and I watch kids now. So we are now coming up on –
What do you mean you watch kids now?
I watch kids, right? That's the quote. There's the bull quote. I watch these kids now. Kids now send me letters and pictures of themselves dressed as for Halloween. I get a letter this year that came and says, this is the first year my daughter didn't go as a princess. Thanks to your book, she went as Amelia Earhart. And I'm not talking one girl. I'm talking dozens of families dressed up from our
really
hero books.
Really wonderful, Brad.
So it's super really,
That's really
it's
wonderful.
Fun to do.
All right. We're almost out of time, and I'm going to ask you one final question that I hope will tie into House of Secrets. You have a dictator story for us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is fun. So when I'm researching House of Secrets, I go to this military intelligence officer. And I say to him, where does the United States get its best intelligence? Where's it come from? And he told me, this is a true story, and you have to play, we'll play Guess the Dictator. That's a good game. And he said, years ago, this is true, a dictator who hated the United States, what no one knew was that this dictator was actually, through one of his top lieutenants, secretly working for the U.S. He was a spy for America, and nobody knew it. And I was like, well, why'd he do it? And he said, for the most logical reason of all, for family. He had a sick kid who needed the kind of medical care that only the U.S. could provide.
No kidding.
So we gave medical care. He gave us information on terrorist weapons. And you're going to get to that part of the book. And I'm telling you, Kevin, you're going to go, oh, that's a cool thing. I didn't make it up. It happened in real life. And so I put that in the thriller. And so when you're reading, I love that you fill it in.
Donald Trump.
Yeah. That's it. You want
Is that him?
The Dictator?
The Dictator, yes, well done.
Okay.
Wait, can I tell you my kind of bunk board story?
Wait,
you
can
have
we guess who the Dictator is?
You only know, first of all.
Is it Kim Jong-il?
You can only name,
no way.
All of us can only name three dictators, right?
Right.
So it's not the three.
Pinochet.
Nice one, four. Well done.
Yeah. Who did you say,
three.
Who did you
Pinochet.
Say,
Pinochet.
Oh. I was going to say Kim Jong-il was first. And
no
then
way.
Castro was second, my second guess.
Yep, that's a good high one.
You're not going to tell us?
I can't tell because he's still alive.
Putin!
They'll kill him.
Listen
you
to
can't
Ali.
Tell him because he's still alive,
oh.
And they'll kill him.
They'll
that's
kill
the kind
him.
Of information that Brad has.
That's
it's
it.
Putin.
All right, we're running out of time. Quick,
Kenny Bunkport.
Kenny Bunkport. So so for her 90th birthday, they invite me to Kenny Bunkport for Barbara Bush's 90th birthday, and we're sitting there. And at one point, it's me, George Bush, Barbara Bush, my wife, W, Laura. Jeb Bush is there. The Bush twins are in between these two rooms. My wife looks at me. She says, at what point in your life did you become Forrest Gump? Right? And now, so my wife basically is, you know, she basically is, she sees, she's not, she's still mad about the Iraq war. She's not talking to W. And then she basically bumps into this guy who kind of accidentally hits her. My wife turns around. When someone hits you hard, you kind of turn around ready to throw a punch. My wife turns around. She's nose to nose with W. And I'm like, this is going to be the greatest fist fight of all time.
Oh, you thought
and
your
so
wife
I
was going
like,
to punch the
I
president?
I thought my wife – I don't know what she was going to do. But when you back up and hit my wife that hard accidentally, my wife could accidentally throw a punch. I will say that.
USA!
Right?
USA! So she took
a swing.
Yeah, she took no swings, which okay. was okay. But I did think a swung was going to happen.
Did she say, your dad is the man?
What she said was, your dad is the man. That is the best callback, by the way, Ali. I'm super, super impressed with
thank
that.
Thank you.
Well, listen, this has been the most fun ever, Brad. Thank you so much.
Ever.
For
in all of history, this was the fun.
In all of history. I really do think this might be the most fun hour ever. But we appreciate your time so much. House of Secrets is the book. It's available everywhere now. Please buy it. Please go to the Grove tonight at the Barnes & Noble to meet and get an autograph from Mr. Meltzer and his co-author, Todd Goldberg. Come back and see us anytime you're in town, sir.
Love you guys. Much appreciated.
Bye-bye.
Let me just apologize. We need to work on that one.
Okay.
That was good.
We need to work on that one.
Stop it, okay?
I agree with that guy.
Stop it.
I feel like a little practice. A little practice.
Stop it.
I felt that was subpar for us.
We got to get some rehearsal in.
Some rehearsal
I
needs
it,
to happen.
Sure.
We'll refund your money, everyone.
Okay.
All right. Hands of Fury. Stand down, you guys.
We're not gelling yet.
Right.
Jim Rome is coming up just after 8 o'clock here on the Kevin DeBean Show for Thursday. First, though, Ali's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
I miss Brad Meltzer.
Yeah, he was
fun. Good times when he was in.
Those were fun times. Omar, we'll see you later. You are so creepy right now. Just in here staring at me. Go. Please go.
I just want to watch you do the Showbiz Report.
Omar's job here is to creep people out.
Nailed it.
People used to come in for interviews for interns, and they would try to they would shake all of our hands, and they would try and shake his, and he would just look at him with a straight face and go, "I don't shake hands."
Such a jerk.
See what they're made
Such
of.
A jerk. Well, remember last hour how excited I was to tell you about season 8 of Jerry Seinfeld's
really
comedian?
Excited.
Okay, that's okay.
Cars getting coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you have the other place to
go. Yeah,
we'll
see you later, Omar. Thanks for checking in. Lord, that guy's creepy.
Yeah, he would have ruined it.
Like, he scares me.
Agreed.
Legit.
Right.
Like, HR.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I was really excited to tell you about season 8, Jerry Seinfeld's comedian, Cars Getting Coffee. Told you about my favorite episode, Mel Brooks, Carl Reiner. It's basically the best moment ever. I said to find it on Cackle.com.
You did
it's
say that.
Crackle.
It isn't Cackle as much as Crackle.
It's so much Crackle.
Yeah.
That's where you can find it, Crackle.com. Wrong. So please stop tweeting me. Crackle.com. It's out right now. A lot happening in the world of Taylor Swift. She broke up with her boyfriend. How long were they going out, her and Calvin Harris?
15 months.
15 months. I knew he'd know.
Note of the month, though. I mean,
how does he knew.
I know, but how does he just not go, I don't know, a year and a half?
Yeah, well.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of knowledge already.
Yeah. Well, they broke up apparently June 2nd.
Okay, good.
And picture surfaced yesterday of her, well, kissing and hugging and sharing just good times in Rhode Island with an actor named Tom Hiddleston. People on the interwebs flipped out. And then some people questioned it. Is this all a big ruse? Is this a publicity stunt? for Tom because he's, you know, people are throwing out, oh, could he be the next James Bond? Does this guy need to be more famous? Because I feel like he's got it. He's good.
I think he could get it on his own.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't think being in a relationship with her would help that.
And I don't think her dating someone is... people bash her so much, I don't think this could help her. So I'm very confused by it. I think it's real, and I think they are canoodling, and I think it's great. They're young. Let them date. Who's with me?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
I will say, Allie, I was pleased to see you standing up for Taylor, even though you're not a big fan, because you felt that people were automatically judging her as a 26-year-old single woman she wasn't allowed to date until there was a respectful mourning period after her last relationship.
Yeah.
And you know what? A lot of people go out with somebody, and then they break up, and then next week they go out with somebody else, and it's fine.
I saw people tweeting, slut, what a whore, what, really? Yet we're all clapping for Leonardo DiCaprio with every model on a boat. Let them live their lives.
I hate her, and I didn't think that.
Yeah. Well, you're a rational, normal human being.
That's really weird.
And that will be the only time I say those things about you, so enjoy it. So let's let people live their lives, shall we? Shall we?
Agreed.
Good. Excellent. All these stars were born today, June the 16th. Happy birthday, John Cho. You are 44. I don't have to tell you, and you're probably not listening. Golfer and Bean doppelganger Phil Mickelson, 46 years old. Rapper MC Ren, 47. Actress Missy Peregrine, 34. Abby Elliott is 29. Comic Adam Ray is 34 and got great news. He has been cast as one of the amazing improv sketch comedy guys on the new Mad TV. That's huge.
Congratulations.
Yeah, he'll be great at that, too.
He will be amazing. So congratulations, Adam Ray. And congratulations, Petros Papadakis. You made it to 39. Yay, Petros. I'm Ellen King.
He's a rough-looking 39,
How
too, by
the way.
How
dare you? He is
he's
a delight.
He's got some miles on him, man.
Wow. Wow.
He got knocked out a lot playing football, I suspect.
I'm just saying, let him live his life.
All right.
I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, welcome to the show this week.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
About this time, every week, we talk to our good friend Jim Rome from the Jim Rome Show. He is back. How are you, sir?
I got a question for you guys.
Nope.
What's
nope.
going on?
How are we living?
How are we living?
That's okay. That's all right. Welcome, sir. In the 70 years, roughly, that the NBA has been in existence, no team has ever come back in the finals from being down 3-1. It still could happen this year. Your thoughts, please.
True dat. How about in the 200 years of Cleveland's existence? What an incredible night this is for them. This is so big. We're talking about a city that's had its collective heart jerked out of its chest over and over again. A town that I love but has been mocked on my radio program for years because their river caught fire and because of the, quote, horrific stench of citywide BO.
Aww.
I don't know about you. That's the crap I get on my show for my listeners. But LeBron is going to come home and change all that by lifting up that beaten downtown and leading it to its first world title in over 50 years, right? Except that we're hours away from them possibly getting punked yet again. And if that happens, LeBron drops to 2-5 in the finals, and he will always be seen as a guy who should have won more and had to bounce to win the two that he did. So it is a huge night.
But it's you can't put any of it on LeBron James, though, right? A human couldn't do any more than he has been doing.
Right, but it depends on how he plays. He could play crappy.
Yes and yes. You're both right. I mean, you can't put this on him. It's not his fault per se, but we're talking legacy. And if this guy's one of the all-time greats, a top five, a top three player, if they come home and he doesn't show up tonight and they get punked in their own house again, best believe that will stick to him. Fair or not, but that will stick to him. But on the other side, guys, Golden State could also be on the verge of going into the tank because that first point, nobody has ever blown a 3-1 lead in the NBA Finals. And if they get beat tonight in Cleveland and they've got to come back for a Game 7 in Golden State, then all of a sudden they start to tighten up as well. That's why this is all so good. Huge, huge stakes starting tonight.
Yeah, that first half of Game 5 was unbelievable. I mean, it was some great, great basketball. And wasn't it the best ever finals performance LeBron James had ever had?
It was definitely that, and Kyrie Irving was even better. In fact, you want to talk about records. Never had two guys gone for 40 or more on the same time or on the same team in the NBA Finals. But it kind of begs the question, right? If they have to do that again, if it's never been done before, can right. they do it back-to-back, much less three games in a row? There's no chance. So bottom line tonight, either that river blazes again and that city will reek of abhorrent BO for all of eternity, or we're coming back to Oakland.
Okay, but let me just say this, though. If we have any Cleveland sports fans out there, let's say this isn't your year in basketball. At least you've got the Browns, right? So you've got that to look forward to.
Oh, yeah, so that's nice. So that you got that going for you, which is nice.
I think they won minor league hockey. They won that championship this year, so that's...
Good answer, Allie. Thanks for piping Cleveland. In with that. Hey, I got a question for you, Allie.
Do you think
you're going to change about minor league hockey? That's my question. Oh,
okay. I have... one other basketball question, and the last thing we expected was to see Magic Johnson parting official ways with the LA Lakers. We kind of felt like he was, he was a part of the family for life based on his contribution to the franchise. What went wrong for him, Jim?
Such good story. So why would Magic, a Laker for life, give up his title as honorary VP? Of course, because of Twitter. It sounds crazy until you actually read this guy's timeline. Yeah. Every tweet that Magic drops gets mocked. I mean, who will ever forget that crazy knowledge he spit about pursuing Kevin Durant in free agency? Actual quote, a tweet, Laker Nation, the first free agent the Lakers should go after is Kevin Durant. I mean, damn, Irvin, fire! One of the worst teams ever should try to get one of the best players in the NBA. That's the kind of insight you can only get from an all-time great. Fire, Irvin! Problem is, though... He was a pseudo-employee of the team. KD was not a free agent, so that's also tampering. Other teams got bent, so he had to step aside.
So that's straight illegal in the NBA.
That's straight illegal. Yeah. Look, the team will say, hey, you know, we understand there might be a conflict of interest. My feeling is they broke him off because they did not want him repping them with his embarrassing tweets. So you tell me, conflict of interest or tweets like a third grader?
Yeah, have you guys seen a guy, he goes by Magic's tweets? It's essentially all the things that you think Magic is saying. It's the most dumb, like, childlike tweets, and people retweet it thinking it's Magic because they're that bad.
Because they're used to Magic.
Right. No,
or they can go
bad.
To his verified account and get the same exact stuff.
Right.
And I think that's why they broke him off. They all decided that maybe it's a better idea not for him to be an honorary VP.
Yeah, the official timeline is that he requested the team remove him from the job, but we all know it went the other way around, right?
Sure he didn't.
All right, we got one more story this week, Jim, that I know you love so much. Carlos Williams, Buffalo Bills running back, said something we've never heard in the history of the NFL. What was it?
Love it. He missed practice and was asked, are you injured? And he said, quote, the injury of pregnancy. When asked what he meant by that, he said, quote, I like to eat, and then her being pregnant gave me an excuse to eat. So eating anything and everything, she'd wake up at 1 or 2 o'clock and say, I want a snack. Well, I'm not going to sit here and watch her eat because I don't want you to feel bad. I mean, standing ovation, Carlos. I've been doing this for a long time. I've seen a lot of athletes fat out.
Fat!
But I have never heard one try to explain it like that. Hey, and by the way, bro, your lady did give birth like 6 weeks ago. What have you been doing since then? My man, it's your fourth kid. You're not a shell-shocked first-timer. It is your fourth kid. You should know the drill by now. Bottom line, you have to be there for your teammates. I know you got to be there for your lady, but your teammates' names are Tyrod Taylor, LeSean McCoy, and Sammy Watkins, not Ronnie Mack, Wendy What's-Her-Face, and Harlan Sanders. You pay the bills by playing for the bills. You should not be pushing three bills. Guys, they held him out of practice because he was too fat.
That's crazy.
Too fat.
I mean,
fat.
That really is crazy.
Hey, why don't you come to work? I'm too fat.
Fat.
I don't want to hurt myself. Put down the waffle fries, my man. You're a pro athlete. Make your living with your body.
Here are 3 hours of Sports Talk Radio once again this morning from 9 until noon at JimRome.com. Before you go, Jim, any final questions for Allie?
No, Jim.
Actually, I got a lot of questions for Allie, starting with this.
Nope.
Oh, we're out of time?
Yep. Yeah, we're out of time.
Hey, Allie, do you?
No.
Six point seven K Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That's over.
What happened?
It's 8:23.
Oh, no.
Song ended. Song ended.
But then it sounded like birds chirping at the same time. It was
that weird. I don't know.
Just refreshing not to hear clapping for once. Hey, Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us in studio this morning. A rare in-studio visit from the good doctor coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Plus, we'll qualify you to Red Hot Chili Peppers and more at Lollapalooza in Chicago coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. We did What's Up with Florida on the program yesterday, and one of the stories that we talked about was in Fort Myers, maybe you heard it, about neighbors complaining about a terrible smell in the neighborhood. So the Department of Transportation for Lee County went out, and they found a dead alligator stuck in a storm drain. It had been there about a week.
Now, at that point, if I'm anywhere in the area, I'm peace out, see you guys.
I'm good.
I'm gone.
Well, yeah.
But if that's your job and you have to be the person who...
And I'm like,
who...
wow, I really enjoyed this job. This is my final day. I'm sorry to have to tell you.
Look, I'm with you that there are lots of jobs that are too unpleasant for me to want to do, no matter how well they pay. And a lot of these jobs, I did a little bit of research on this yesterday because we want to take some calls on gross jobs, jobs that most people wouldn't do, but that you do or have done. That's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. For whatever reason, and I don't know if it's because they've got no sense of smell or what, or they're just able to compartmentalize, there are people who are willing to do even the grossest possible jobs, like the people whose job it is to clean up after crime scenes.
Yeah, how terrible. Yeah. How terrible is that?
That is, I mean, that's your job. Is the phone rings and you hear, hey, Motel 6 out on the highway, double homicide. Get on it. And that's your job, is to go clean that room.
I faint at the sight of blood.
Yeah.
So not for you?
So I would show up and I would get back up and then...
You lost Kevin again.
So what terrible, gross job have you had? 1-800-520-1067. As I mentioned, I did a little bit of research yesterday and I came up with a couple that I was surprised about. For instance, there is a job where you are a maggot farmer.
What?
You raise maggots to sell as fishing bait or for agricultural purposes. Apparently it's an extremely lucrative profession, but the job smells so bad that many people have to take 3 showers a day.
Oh, my Lord, that's bad.
There is a job called a chicken sexer. You have to determine.
Nope.
It's not what you're thinking, Kevin.
Nope.
You have to know. You look at a chick and you have to determine what sex it is. And apparently that is necessary to determine the proper nourishment track, whether it's being raised for meat or for eggs or whatever. The only way to do it at an early stage of development is to literally squeeze poop out of the chick by opening its anal vent and then looking to see if there's a small bump indicating that it is a male.
So your was job, it been?
Your job is
Did you say the words anal and vent?
Yes.
Well, I think when you express anal glands, even people that do, you know, dog grooming, they have to do that.
I'm already out on this topic.
Are you sure?
I feel like
You know what, Ellen?
I don't want to take the calls. I don't want to.
There are lots of people who work in veterinary offices, and that's a regular part of their job, is to put the gloves on and squeeze out the anal glands, right?
Yeah.
There are a lot of occupations on this list, by the way, that, I mean, you think chimney sweep. Well, how bad can it be? Picture climbing inside a chimney to clean it. I mean, that is not a job. I mean, that has got to be so tight and constricted, and you can't breathe
that
air.
Chip could do it super easy, though, because she's so small.
The number one grossest job on this list I found yesterday, and maybe we'll talk
about it. You haven't already mentioned it?
Right.
No.
It's worse than all the ones you've mentioned?
The number one gross job is a hazmat diver, according to this list. The job is so disgusting and so dangerous that divers also often have to be vaccinated against a slew of diseases because they do things like find themselves searching for dead bodies in rivers or diving through septic tanks. I would imagine.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine diving through a septic tank?
I bet if there's like something wrong with your septic tank, maybe it has a leak, something, you have to wade through poop to get the leak. I never thought about those people.
There are a lot of jobs on this list, like sewage cleaner, that do involve you being the guy down there in the poop and the trash and the rats and everything else. So not for everybody.
Well, God bless those people that do it.
Right?
See, do.
Good. You know, Mike Rowe has done all these jobs.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and he's lived to tell about it. All right, let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Gross jobs is the topic. Eddie and Downey gets us going. He's on line one.
Hey, Eddie.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Well, not well. I got to be honest.
I love you guys.
Thank you. Thank you. I do not enjoy this phone topic, so go ahead.
I'm sorry. What was that?
No, nothing. Go ahead.
What's your gross job?
So right now I actually deliver ice cream, but my job before this, I actually used to collect the used cooking oil from restaurants, and I used to do their grease traps, too. Super gross, guys.
Okay, that's not as bad as what we've been talking about, though.
I mean, at least it doesn't involve rotting corpses or anything like that, or large quantities of poop.
It doesn't, but really the main thing about it is the smell. Imagine like old cooking oil, you know, you fry chicken, you fry fries, whatever. It just sits outside in the heater for days, sometimes even weeks.
Right.
Oh. You know, and it's just horrible.
Is there a trick that you can use to not smell it so strongly?
Is there what?
Is there a trick you can use so that it's not so strong of a smell to you?
I mean, I don't know, because I've actually been told that I go home, I don't smell it.
Oh, yeah.
After showering twice, I would still smell like it for days, guys. I mean,
yeah, it's got to permeate your hair. It's got to be in your pores.
I have a beard, so it would stick to my
beard
pretty bad.
And a beard! Of all people to have a beard, cut the beard off!
Let Eddie live.
Oh, yeah. And that's
got
and
cooking
that's
oil
it
beard.
It doesn't even get on you, because sometimes we'd have hoses breaking. It gets all over you. I've gotten drenched before in it. It's horrible, horrible stuff, guys. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
You have sold us. It is a horrible job. We are going to agree with you, Eddie. All right, thanks for the call. Let's do one more real quick before the break. Let's make it Panorama City's Frank. He's on line four. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show talking gross jobs. Hey, Frank, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean?
Well, we're talking gross jobs, and I'm not enjoying it.
Oh, okay, well, it's kind of nasty. I used to work for the trash truck companies, and I was their mechanic, and in the worst part about it was in the summer, you used to have to go to the field and pick up the trucks, and you used to see the floor move. And at some point, I thought it was the heat off the ground. But as I got closer, I realized that the floor was riddled with maggots, and the floor would move.
No.
And then that's not the worst part.
I think it is.
How is it possible that that's not the worst part?
Well, since I was a mechanic, you can't lift up the trucks, so you would have to crawl underneath the trucks, right? And whenever it rained, the trucks would get full of water, and since you can't lift them up, you're underneath the truck.
Oh my God.
That trash juice and all that fluid
trash juice
would flow on top of you.
Right.
And well, it gets worse than that.
No, Frank!
How is that not the worst part?
Journey we're on.
We hated part A, and that wasn't the worst. We hate part B more.
There can't be anything worse in your job than the trash juice.
Well, the trash trucks sometimes get jammed up. The cylinders in there get all jammed up and stuff. So you would have to dump out the trash and then work inside the trash bins and clear out the cylinders. So whenever you would have to go empty out the trash trucks, you would have to wear this huge, giant rubber suit and then empty out the bin. Well, the whole rubber suit was to prevent, like, syringes and razor blades and all that medical trash from preventing you. But
all right. But that's not the worst part.
Sometimes I had to work on Saturdays. That's the worst part. All right, Frank, keep doing what you're doing, buddy. Thanks for the call.
What are we
going
to do next? I don't want to take my calls.
I think we're good.
Let's do something else.
Yeah.
Should we do something else?
520-1067. Your gross jobs calls. Can you beat Frank? We'll talk to you next time, Cameron.
Right. Time for let's talk about Florida.
Nope, that's not what we're doing today. We're doing gross jobs
and
now.
We've got tickets for the weenie roast.
Nope, what?
Not the weenie roast.
1-800-520-1067. We're talking about gross jobs. We kind of started thinking about it yesterday about the people who had to come out and remove that dead alligator from the storm drain in Florida.
Who's hungry?
And then we started thinking, you know, there are a lot of jobs that I wouldn't do. But thank God there are brave men and women out there who are willing to do them. And we're taking your calls now. And why don't we start with Danny, please? He's on line five. He's in Encino. He's up first in this segment.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
Kevin is really enjoying this. Let's hear about your gross job.
Well, when I was in high school at Crespi, I had to do community service hours. And I went and worked at the VA. And when I worked at the VA, they didn't have enough people back in the 80s. And so they would ask us candy stripers to do whatever we could. And so on a few occasions, I had to go in, help clean bedpans, and then follow that with the greatest moment of my life, which was helping remove a catheter with another candy striper from a vet's junk.
No.
Wow. Yeah.
You know what? We hadn't even thought of doctors and nurses, but of course they get involved in all sorts of things.
Danny, you did the wrong thing because I went to your sister school. I went to Louisville, and for my Christian service hours, I played bingo with old people. So I feel like
you made the wrong decision.
Maybe you made the wrong decision.
I had to follow my patriotic duty and help the vets.
Okay.
I see. That's what it was
about.
Sure.
Yes.
Well, apparently Allie doesn't care about the military, I think, Danny, you win, sir. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try line six, please. Let's go down to Fulton and say hi to Brandon.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Allie.
Hey.
What's your job?
Hey, so I've worked various jobs in the wastewater industry. I've done several things as far as inspecting slaughterhouse grease interceptors. I've deregged sewage pumps, which has involved poop splashing in my mouth.
Oh my God! Why would you say that, Brandon?
La 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 la.
Hey, you're the one who wants to talk to him, Bean.
Well, I didn't know that those words were going to be in the same sentence.
Yeah, and that's not even the worst. The worst probably.
Stop saying it's not the worst. That was the worst.
Yeah, it was close, but the worst is probably just we had to shovel the human poop on a regular basis, so that was pretty bad.
Mean.
So you're the guy who, you empty septic tanks or something?
No, I work at wastewater treatment plants.
Oh, okay. I'm done talking to Brandon. I'm all right. I feel like I got a lot out of him. I'm proud
of
him.
Hey, Brandon, do you like the job? Do you like the job?
It pays the bills, yeah.
I've been to the plant in Orange County, and what they call it before it gets treated, they call the things that you're looking at cakes.
Do they really?
The cakes, yeah.
The cakes.
Okay. Listen to Brandon.
Thank you for the call, Brandon. Appreciate
that. Cake. I eat cake.
Let's try line seven. Let's go to Burbank. Here's Rick with another complete area that we hadn't even considered in terms of maybe not being for everybody. Rick, welcome to the show, sir. What do you do?
Good. How you guys doing?
Poorly.
Great.
I'm actually a dental technician, and I've been doing it for about 15 years. And we basically deal with people's dentures and repairs. The good thing about it is that I get to deal with people's dentures that have been sitting in their mouth for about 5 to 10 years with rotting
material.
We have to grind and repair.
Nope.
And just like the last guy where things fall in your mouth, sometimes these things do grind and go into your mouth, and it's not nice. Nope.
I feel like you could be wearing a mask, Rick.
Yeah, aren't most dental techs wearing masks and gloves these days?
Most of the time you can't. It's hard to do the gloves because we work with motors, and basically sometimes they do get caught in your hand, it'll just rip the glove right off of your hand.
Oh, man.
Look, I know that it
that
takes
is not in the commercial for dental skin.
It is not!
No, it's not.
Plus, you can get stuff in your mouth.
But that's not the worst part, Kevin.
Thank God
there are dentists. That is the worst part.
No. What's the worst part?
That's the problem.
Lunch. Okay. Right. All right. I'm glad that there are people who are willing to be dentists and dental techs, Rick. I'm glad you called. All right.
Wish we had time for more, but
let's do one more only because
it's clock. Wow. It's time to break.
Let's talk to Jessica and Corona only because, again, this is an area that we never even considered exists as a job. Jessica, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hi, good morning. Hair club for men. So I don't work there anymore, but it's basically pre-surgery, or it's not the surgery. You basically have to do a medical grade glue on like a toupee, essentially.
Okay.
And you tape it on these guys' like bald scalp because you have to cut like a U-shape.
Okay.
And they wear it for, you know, depending on their membership, a month, 2 months, 3 months. I basically have to rip it off gently and wash it. Sometimes these guys do not wash their hair pieces. It stinks. It's foul.
I would never have thought that.
It stinks. Like feet. It's
wash your tubes. People, wash your tubes. For God's sakes, wash your tubes.
That's
if
my new Facebook update.
Away come from on. Today's show.
Jessica shouldn't have to wash your tube.
No, I can't. It's disgusting.
This is bogus.
Well, we're glad you called. We're done.
Thank you, Jessica. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
You guys, tonight is the season four finale of Orphan Black.
Oh, I love that show so
much.
Right? That's a great show.
It's the best.
I've got some breaking news.
All right.
Oh, wait.
Yep.
What?
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Orphan Black has been renewed.
Yes.
For season five.
Yay!
That's what I'm talking about.
And it will be its final season.
Oh, that does make me sad.
I know, right?
So we get one more season, which is great.
Yeah, you're going to get a final 10 episodes that will air in 2017.
It's one of my favorite series.
I'm sorry.
Allie, you don't watch Orphan Black, do you?
I do not.
Because you're a bad person.
Well, and you don't watch Peaky Blinders, so we're even.
Because I'm making some good
choices.
Because
it's the best show out there, and you don't have room for greatness.
Tatiana Maslany is incredible that she is able to play... What is it? 8 different characters or something on the show? And you never, ever are confused as to who she's playing because they're all so different and she plays all of them so brilliantly.
Like Tyler Perry?
It's just astonishing. And look, if that were just the novelty and the show weren't good, it wouldn't be worth watching. Mm-hmm. But on top of it, it's a very compelling story with a lot of great storylines and whatnot. And it's amazing. If anybody's out there looking for something to binge on that they haven't watched yet, I can't recommend Orphan Black more highly.
Bean,
I will
watch Orphan Black.
Yeah.
Will you watch Peaky Blinders?
Oh, it's tough.
I don't feel like Bean wants you to watch it that badly.
You guys are so wrong about Peaky Blinders.
He was talking to the audience when he was saying, if you're looking for something to binge. Okay.
You've kind of killed Peaky Blinders for us, Allie.
For telling you how great it is and how much you love it?
Right. Once an hour for a year and a half. Yes.
It was a lot, wasn't it?
It was.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you guys, but really, watch it three seasons on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Hey, Beyonce and Jay-Z have had it with L.A.
Because they've been here for so long?
That, and they think there's just too many, quote, vultures in Los Angeles, and they're anxious to get out.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know what that means when you're Beyonce and Jay-Z, when you have a home in every city in America.
Yes.
It just means you won't spend as many nights in your L.A. mansion.
I think that they're just over it, though. I don't think they want to be tied to L.A. anymore. So they're going to be moving back to their New Orleans home kind of as a stepping stone. And they've been spotted all around New York City's West Village as well. So I think we're losing Jay and Bay. I think they're...
You. You're cool. You, I'm out.
Jay said Mr. Z.
Is that what he said? Wow.
Mr. Z.
Mr. Z, who does that? That was good. Chip saw The Conjuring 2 and loved it. Creepy. Would you be willing to see maybe a spin-off movie, Chip?
If it was less than 2 hours.
If it was less than 2 hours and it centered around the nun.
Oh, then that was so creepy.
See?
I mean.
Well, guess what? You're going to be very happy. Because it made, you know, just $40 million in its debut weekend, it should come as no surprise that New Line Cinema is already working on a spin-off movie called The Nun.
You are all going to die tonight.
You are all going to die tonight. I don't want to tell you why it would involve The Nun, because it kind of gives away a big plot point. But I think that would be good. And it's not the first spin-off from The Conjuring since the movie Annabelle about the demonic doll in the first movie also a spin-off.
Right.
Wow. The Conjuring. It's big. It's just big.
Good movies.
Good stuff. Let's get to some birthdays, shall we? We've got Drew. I mean, who doesn't want that next room? Rapper MC Ren is 47. Phil Mickelson is 46. And I looked him up, Bean. He looks like you.
Yeah.
It's a definite...
Yes. There's my doppelganger.
When Bean says he's my doppelganger, that word...
Oh, it means
it
that
refers
they look...
to the fact that both pictures, when looked at side by side, are relatively the same.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
Why do some people tune out?
After John Cho is 44. Missy Peregrine is 34 years old. Adam Ray is 34 as well. Abby Elliott, 29. And the love of all of our lives, Petros Papadakis.
The P.
Turning
happy birthday, P.
39 today.
Yeah, right.
I know, right? Who are you kidding? I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Grumman, walking the showbiz beat.
Nope. They handled the hand claps fine on the song.
Not
you guys
in front
don't
of the
need
guests.
To add your own.
Hey.
Come on.
Hey, congratulations to Mia Yakubchik from Pasadena, who just qualified for a trip to Lollapalooza in Chicago, courtesy of Warner Brothers Records and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They'll be performing along with Jane's Addiction, Bastille, M83, the 1975 Radiohead, LCD Sound System, and so much more. Your chance to qualify coming up at noon today. Dr. Drew Pinsky is here.
Literally here.
Dr. Drew in the room.
Looking at Allie's symmetrical pupils.
They
it's
look
awesome.
Great,
it's
right?
wonderful to see you today.
Thank
yes,
you.
Looking right
Thank
in them.
You.
It's awesome.
I checked
is this
before
the
you came
first
in?
Time you have been in the building since you got fired from Loveline?
How dare you? Very funny. I would say yes. I think so.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, does your card key still work?
I have a special code to the back.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I couldn't find my card key.
They won't give us that.
Right?
What does it take? How long does a guy have to work here? Well, Dr. Drew is about the only person in the building who has worked here longer than me.
Right. I had some security issues at one point, so I had to go in the back.
Because you are not usually here in studio, we usually talk to you every week on the phone, we did prepare something special that I think you'll like it, by means of introduction.
Uh-oh.
Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew. Your name rhymes with poo.
Little pitchy Omar Khan, ladies and gentlemen.
I loved it. Good performance. Little pitchy. But otherwise... Appreciate it. Good effort.
That's Omar's style, is a little pitchy. Well, Doc, since you're here, let's talk about a couple of things that are going on. One is I saw you tweeting about a new movie that I think sounds like essential viewing for our listeners.
Yes.
It's about the life and times of your friend, DJ AM. What's the status of this film? It's out now or coming soon?
It's out now. You follow the hashtags. Let me try to shoot. Bean. I didn't know I was going to be called upon to get my tweets out here. But if you follow the tweets, you'll find out where it is and where you can see it.
We thought you might know it without looking at your tweets.
I did not anticipate to be. But anyway, be that as it may, it's a great film about our buddy AM. And if you remember,
what's it called?
Adam Goldstein. Man.
Holy crap. Man, you don't know
guys,
anything about it.
I didn't know that's what you were going to talk about off the top.
As I am.
It's not my project. It's just a project that I support because I'm such a dear friend of his and he was such a great guy. And he was a guy that was a terrible, terrible drug addict. I mean, and a wonderfully talented guy. Everyone knows he and Travis Barker were going around the country doing this sort of, what would you call that? Where he would drum and AM would DJ.
I don't know because they didn't. It was a new thing.
It was a new thing,
Pretty
and they
much.
Were very successful at it. And they sort of couldn't. No one could get enough of them, and they got involved in a private plane crash.
Yeah.
And several people were killed, and these guys made it out and had bad burns. And AM was appropriately put on pain medicine, but then he had panic, and somebody gave him some anxiety medicine, and he got strung out again. And AM was a terrible drug addict. I mean, really hardcore, but one of the best recovering guys ever. I used to send people to him all the time. And he always said, if somebody's motivated, I will go to the mat for them. And damn it, he would.
Drew, let me ask you a question because I ended up in a rehab a while back. And it really does feel like it's very, very judgmental. That people, not in the rehab, outside of the rehab, that people say, when I say I was in a rehab, people are very judgmental. And
really?
I feel like they're that way a lot about addiction.
That's
about
that
anybody
is,
with addiction. I feel like
heart.
They see it as a weakness.
I really
do feel like that's – maybe not as much as it used to be, but
– Well, maybe you're sort of – people that have these proclivities tend to carry a lot of shame about it because it seems like something you should be able to control, but you can't when you have this brain condition. And look at Prance. We have 5% of the world's population. We consume 80% of the world's opiate pain medication. Think about that. Mm-hmm. We have a massive problem. And we have – I'm beginning to think that we are not just having addiction problems in this country. We're having – dependency. I'm not sure, for instance, Prince was a drug addict. I think he was a dependent user and gotten stuck in a pain cycle where he couldn't get off the drugs. And if you get
What's
people like
the
that,
difference between
a drug addict like AM, if you expose him to drugs again, everything explodes.
Oh, I see.
Behavior changes, thinking changes, everything changes. While a non-addict dependent individual can get away from the drugs, like don't really want to go back. While an addict wants to go back
needs
and has to work on it every day, needs to. And AM was one of those guys, and he ended up dying of his addiction. And one of the real tragedies is I knew all the people around him that were trying to get him back, and he had recovering people with him. He finally was getting off everything. And somebody told me in his camp, a very reliable person, that his doctor sat down and said, "Why are you listening to these people who are trying to brainwash you? I'm your doctor. Take these medicine." 2 weeks later, he was dead. 2 weeks later, dead.
Wow.
And I can't. That was the beginning of almost how all my patients die. That's how they die. That somebody, one of my peers, goes, "Oh no, it's you know, don't worry about this. Take this. Come on, you're gonna, yeah, you're in pain. What are you supposed to do?" Yeah. Boom, dead.
I mean, Prince was under a doctor's supervision, right?
Well, we don't know for sure, but I would not be surprised. Certainly towards the end he was. That's what that whole guy was mulling stuff out from California.
Right. What is a guy like DJ AM who had serious injuries, what is he supposed to do?
Same thing with Travis Barker and his recovery.
With that kind of addiction.
But he's not going to take opiates and not going to take benzodiazepines. There's Neurontin, there's Toradol, there's other things, physical therapies, whatnot. Here's the bottom line. Opiates don't treat chronic pain. If they did, we'd all just go, "Oh, well, that's just part of the side effects. We have to deal with this." It makes chronic pain worse. That's why literally there's zero evidence that opiates, scientific evidence, that they're a useful treatment for chronic pain, and yet all chronic pain patients are put on it.
Well, when we had you on the phone last week, the week before, and Prince came up, Dr. Drew, you said the kinds of medicines that he was taking should only be taken for very short-term use, right?
Oh, hopefully. But the other, you see it all the time. I mean, fentanyl, we even knew he died of fentanyl toxicity at that time. Taking enough medicine, enough fentanyl to become toxic, a young, healthy man, that's insane. And by the way, fentanyl, it'd be literally like going, "Well, here's this blood pressure medicine. It doesn't work, but let's figure out how to use it well." It's like, what? It doesn't work. It does. Yeah. There's no evidence that it works. Let's find something else.
How can we fix the problem? Because I have a loved one that got very addicted and had about 8 doctors he could go to.
Oh, it's just
– And it's just – that is so prevalent.
I know.
Just and listen, right and people, now, prescription after prescription.
And I get attacked for being sort of old-fashioned, and I would want people to suffer. No, I don't want people to suffer. If this made things better, I'd say use it.
Yeah.
It makes things worse,
yeah.
And it kills people.
Yeah.
Let's not do that. So, yes, there are other things. Hold those doctors accountable. Say you want your loved one treated and off this stuff and on something effective. That's it, period. Yeah. Get off the garbage. It's just 80% of the world's opiates by 5% of the population. We don't have a problem.
USA,
we're the best.
Right?
We're number one. By a long margin.
It's not good to be number
anyway,
one.
Anyway, thank you for talking about please follow up AM's thing. My poor friend died of this exact phenomena, and he was a wonderful, wonderful man. And he taught me about giving.
Did he?
Yeah.
How did you meet him?
Where did he teach you about giving?
Met him on Loveline. And one of the visits over many, many years, and then we started collaborating on patients. I think I would send him people to help as a sponsor or whatnot. And he had some cool – he was a Nike shoe collector. Remember this? And he had some cool shoes. And I go, "Oh, dude, those are cool shoes." He goes, "I'll get you a pair." I was like, whoa, no, I'm fine." You know, you get kind of embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I'll be damned if he didn't show up the next day with a pair of shoes.
Really?
Those shoes.
A lot of people will say that and mean it, and then sort of not follow through.
Here's what's crazy. This is what I learned. He looked at me, he just offered them to me. Like, "Here." And I thought I was embarrassed and I was like, "Oh my God." And he goes, "No, I saw that you actually liked these." And I thought, "Yeah, I really did. I didn't even really identify it in myself, but he identified that in me and came and honored it." And he said, "By honoring other people and something real in other people, I'll stay sober today. So today you keep me sober." I was like, "Oh my God."
So awesome. If I take these shoes, I'm helping you?
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. I have cars.
I have one follow-up question that I think ties into everything we've talked about so far, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
And that is, why do I never read, hear, or see about doctors being censured, losing their license, or being criminally convicted of negligence in so many of these cases where they directly contribute to a patient's death?
It's happening way more now. It's starting to happen. Yes. And I'm not even – the criminal stuff. These are not doctors trying to hurt people. They're trained in a discipline that is frankly – distorted and probably not right, and there's schools of thought, and you know it's complicated, Bean. But yes, it's finally the tide is turning. Finally, like in the last few months, so
bad doctors out of the rotation.
Not necessarily bad people or bad doctors. They're not trained properly, or don't understand addiction, or don't understand the concept.
So you think they're making mistakes?
Yeah,
they're not bad people.
No, well, there are bad ones in there,
of course, okay.
And there are also addicted doctors that sort of are justifying their own behavior by.
Hey, we watch The Nick, man. We know.
Oh, The Nick's my favorite TV show.
The Nick is something completely.
Did you see The Nick Jr. on Amy Schumer's show? It was the best.
He did say The Dick, didn't he?
He did. I said The Dick.
You said that at first. Yeah. It was an accident.
Oh, well.
I like that show, too.
Like I said, I work with Catherine Wood still on KBC. So
I'm going to look
comes
that
out
up,
like that.
Right?
But listen, I'm not going away, Bean. You don't have to keep interviewing me. I'm staying for the rest of the hour, just so you know. I'm staying, man.
We are going to take a quick break. We're with our guest, Dr. Drew Pinsky, right after this on K-Rock. Dr. Drew Pinsky, our guest in studio. A rare in-studio visit from the doctor here on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is a lot of fun. You know, we always appreciate, we know how busy you are, doctor. We always appreciate that you make time to join us, usually by phone on the show, because there's no topic that we can throw out at you that you don't have thoughts on.
I appreciate that. I love people and I love the human experience. And so if something's important, I'm just drawn to it. I'm fascinated.
We send emails around for the show, what topics we should do and whatever, and who should we talk to? And it's always like, well, I guess Dr.
Drew. I guess. And by the way, let's tip our hat to just K-Rock for a second. You know, Loveline ended, but K-Rock goes on. You know what I mean? Kevin and Bean goes on. And I just love being a part of this.
For now, we're this close to being musica, the way things are going. I actually had a serious thing I wanted to ask you about, Dr. Drew, and that is, it is becoming a lot of people are coming to the conclusion that the shooter in Orlando over the weekend was a self-hating gay. But a lot of people are saying, wow, he'd been at that club a bunch of times. Other people have come forward and said he, you know, tried to date me. He hit on me on a, you know, the gay app and whatnot. Was that a surprise to you? Because when the initial reports came, we thought he hated gays because of his faith, and that's why he was shooting out. And now it looks like he was a struggling homosexual himself. And I wonder what your thoughts were on that.
You're talking about something called a reaction formation, where you have some disavowed feeling that you just can't deal with, so you act out against it, and you project it out into the world in some way. And those things exist, but this being way more made of this than is probably the case. In fact, it's even more likely the guy was just casing, looking for targets and toying with people.
Wow.
No one has come forward and said, I had a relationship with this guy. He's not had one gay relationship. And if you really have those impulses, it's hard to not have at least one something somewhere along the way. Not one.
Right,
and yet he was casing. I know.
Dozens of times? You go to the club dozens of times?
Hard to say. But then, by the way, he spent 3 hours in that bathroom giving a disquisition on what his motivation was. And he didn't say, I hate homosexuals. He said, I'm here to stop the bombing in my country, and I'm here because it starts chanting an air. I mean, it's because he just went on and on with very specific political and religious reasons for what he had done, none of which included, I hate gay people. I think it just that was a convenient target that may have included some weird feelings he was having. So that motivated that
but
target
as well. But it wasn't necessarily his – he wasn't necessarily targeting gay people?
I'm not sure. Yes, he was, but I'm not sure that's the issue. People are making way more of this than they should. This guy was a radicalized convert, and this dad claims
straight up crazy. Shadier.
Yeah, but that's the guy. Look, this kid is ranting about his country. He's never been to his country. His country is the United States.
Right. He's an American.
Like
born
Island,
and raised
right?
in America. Yeah.
Yeah, but that dad, God knows what the dad indoctrinated into that kid and or did to that kid. I mean, that dad needs to be scrutinized. Forget the wife. Scrutinize the dad.
Yeah, he's a nut job. All right. I appreciate your thoughts on that. And the other thing we wanted to follow up with you about, because you just mentioned it in passing last week on the phone, is some problem that you were talking about that involves a sense of accomplishment or a sense of self or a sense of worth in men in America in 2016.
Yes, we have a problem. And particularly we're seeing in middle-aged white men, we've been seeing this for a while, is the suicide rate has just gone up crazy. So we have this really almost an epidemic of suicide in middle-aged white men. And you're thinking, what's going on? And then you see on the same time, we're seeing now this problem with homegrown radicalization. And I don't know if you deal with the millennial population, but they're sort of drifting and having trouble finding meaning and passion.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And it turns out, I think that's part of what's going on with the suicide in the middle-aged men. They just don't have purpose. They don't have something that's they're passionate about.
But what's different now than 20 years ago?
I don't try to figure that out. I think part of it is there's not the kind of economic dynamism where people feel hopeful for the future. There also isn't the same sense of community. People are very isolated.
Right.
And I think that we've been through this terrible rash of destroyed families and, you know, as we're saying, excessive drug and substance use and excessive deployment of pharmaceutical agents. So we're in this sort of weird time when I think we need to sort of re-entrench in the basics.
Absolutely.
You know, give people purpose, family, good
My
jobs.
Family had dinner together every single night. And if we weren't, like something felt off. And my friends with their kids, the kid is watching TV in one room.
Or
other kids on the computer
phone or something.
In the other room.
Yeah, we're
There's
disconnected.
No connection anymore between humans on every level.
All meaning, the one thing I've learned about humans is that, that real meaning comes from other humans. That's how we make
it. Bean. Yeah.
That's about, very upsetting news.
Think
then.
About that, sir.
Well, what about sex robots, though? Those are still all right.
Not
right?
The same. Mm-mm. All right, let me ask you
Edmund
this.
Fitzgerald,
then.
Even those guys are involved with each other.
Let me ask you this, Doctor. Maybe this is crazy and doesn't make any sense, but the thing that you're saying about white males in particular, middle-aged males, do you think that that has something to do with the rise of Donald Trump, the support that he's getting from people who go, hey, now I live in a world where women can do everything and people who don't look like me can do everything and I don't feel like I'm king of the hill anymore.
When you're accustomed to privilege, quality feels like oppression.
Well,
that's the big thing.
Yes, but it's feeling like no one – listen, it's not just white men. There's a lot – I've talked to a lot of African-American and Hispanic that feel also like, hey, no one's looking out for me. And it's mostly the kind of the middle. Everyone that's sort of – trying to live a normal life, people are sort of not feeling like there's opportunity for them, like there's support for them. There's support for people that are really struggling, and people that everyone knows the 1% is doing okay, but everyone else, the rest of us, just trying to, like, what the hell? We just want to create meaning and have dynamism and have connection, and we can't get any traction.
You said that we needed to bring those people in, but if they don't have parents that sit them down for dinner, how do you do that?
I'm not sure exactly what you're asking, but connection
on the phone. You were saying, we need to bring people in.
I was saying that it is time for each of us. That's good radio. It's time for
be professional. Goddamn it!
Come on.
Is this thing on? Are we on the radio still? So I think it is really time for each of us to make relationships a priority. And that's probably the simplest way to say that. And if you, what I was saying specifically was, if you have something in your heart where you feel uncomfortable around us, anything that's not you, now look those people in the eye, put your hand out and get to know them and look at them as very much like you.
Right.
Maybe not the way you understand. Maybe there's some differences. Look for the similarities and the connection and put a value in relationships. All the happiness research that's being done right now shows that real happiness, not hedonic happiness, not the woohoo happiness, but real meaning is about other people.
Bean.
And when something bad happens, maybe don't run to Twitter to fight with other people on Twitter. Maybe put
poison.
It all away.
All poison.
Have dinner with a friend.
It's an infectious
have
agent.
A barbecue that weekend. Actually talk about
and
what is happening.
Don't run away to an island in Seattle. Or
right.
Like
hey,
that.
Hey, what's that? How did I do?
Looney Tune.
Don't lock yourself away from people full time.
Dr. Drew, is there no group of people that you're not comfortable with? It seems like, especially on your HLN show, that you have every possible stripe of human walk through your studio.
Yeah, I just love
you
people.
Seem to relate to all of them.
I love people. I love because we're all the same. We're all the same. We have these different experiences, and they're rich, and you just embrace them, and it's wonderful.
Bean,
why don't you? And I know I've asked you this before, Doctor. And before we wrap this up, I want to ask again because it's been a couple of years since I posed this to you.
Yeah.
Why aren't you the Surgeon General of the United States, where you would have the biggest possible platform to make the most changes in the world?
I think two reasons, really.
Number one, no beard.
No beard. No belly.
Yeah. So, come on. True. Get
it seems
it
requisite. No, I'm not in the military. Mm-hmm. And the person is usually selected out of the military.
Oh, yeah.
And I really don't think the Surgeon General has that much of an impact. If I really want an impact, I should go run for senator or something.
But you would be so good at being Surgeon General, though, because you would be the guy who would talk about these issues that you talk about on the radio.
I would love it. Listen, if somebody in the government wants me to participate, I'm ready. It's that time. I'm fascinated by our government, and I think we have one of the greatest systems in the world. It's just we're languishing for some. It's the weirdest time.
It's broken.
Isn't it a weird time?
It feels
a weird time.
To you?
Yeah.
Everything feels weird.
Yeah, okay.
It feels weird.
Weird, but broken.
It feels like I keep saying to people, like, I could, I used to look at the history. I'm kind of a dilettante history of a history buff, and I was being too. And I was looking at, like, pre World War II and the people in the Weimar Republic, and go, why didn't they do something? I feel like we're in that time again where people look back and go, why didn't they change? Why didn't somebody step up and do something?
Sit down.
Think it's also cyclical. Like, we're now in the time where something needs to change.
Yes.
And it probably won't in our lifetime.
No, it will. There's something
really?
Coming.
Yeah.
Will it before President Trump?
I don't know what we're in
will
for
that
here.
Happen before then?
I don't know.
But the tragedy in Orlando is just a reminder that we are in for more of this. And that is just not to diminish that in any way, but it's not the last time.
Thanks for leaving us on a positive note, Doc. We appreciate that.
So glad it came in. This is awesome.
You can listen to Dr. Drew weekdays with Mike.
I'm not leaving. I came all the way in here.
He's doing showbiz.
He's staying for showbiz.
He's doing it.
You can do the plug if you want, but he's staying for showbiz.
We'll be right back on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:41.
You know,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, before we start,
yeah,
have you noticed that Chip and Kevin haven't clapped for a good two breaks?
Wow. We did the first break. Dr. Drew came in.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, we did. Just.
I was going to say, Chip, maybe because of that, you can announce your big show tonight.
Can I?
Yeah.
I'm going to anyway.
Okay.
So tonight, Viper Room, Will Hunghart is playing. $8. That's pretty cheap.
That's very cheap.
I wanted $9.50,
mm-hmm.
but I relented a little bit.
$8, what time?
Starts at 8. We go on at 10.
You guys go on at 10.
Yes.
What can people expect from Well Hung Heart tonight?
Nothing but good.
Oh, can I hear some?
I like the way they dance. They don't just clap. You're really missing out if you can't get the visual. Yeah.
I mean, your band is so good, and then you clapped and hate over it.
I made it better.
Oh, Chip.
We make everything better.
I don't know.
Hey, Viper Room plugs. Tonight. That's how we that Heal app. Remember that Heal app?
Oh, yes. I've been hoping to get sick
so you
just
could
to
use
it.
Just check it out. It's an app. $99 doctor at your house within 2 hours.
Boom. It's like All Uber, in. But with doctors.
Exactly. Heal, H-E-A-L.
Heal app. Bean, anything to promote?
Is there a black Uber? Is there an actual doctor side of it? Or is there just like a guy that shows up in a white van with a needle?
No, they're carefully selected physicians.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I see. You went the special, the Uber XL, the Heo XL.
I wasn't sure what he was going with.
It sounded totally racist at first.
It totally did. Can I get a black doctor at my home? What are you talking about?
I wasn't thinking about race
all right.
at all.
Dr. Drew is here. Ali is here. It's time for a final look at the showbiz being here on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's new? What's going on?
Well, Supergirl has found its Superman.
Big news.
Yeah, we were just seeing like little parts of his like tights and his boot. We didn't know who was going to be playing Superman on the show Supergirl, which of course.
And now breaking news bulletin.
Seems like maybe a little earlier.
Yeah, I feel like maybe when I said Supergirl has found its Superman.
Who did they select, Allie?
They have selected Teen Wolf alum Tyler Hoechlin.
Oh, we love
Tyler. That's a good choice.
And
that's
he looks choice. Like Superman, that's and he's choice. Super handsome and super hot.
Yeah.
He's going to guest star in the first two episodes of Supergirl Season 2, which we all know moved to the CW this fall. So very good stuff.
I will allow it.
You will allow it?
Dr. Do you watch any superhero shows? You have time? Do you watch any TV?
I binge watched last night Unreal.
Yeah. Unreal, okay.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Yeah, people
so,
love
I mean,
Unreal.
If you've ever been, that is an exact rendition of what happens on a reality set.
What channel is that
precise.
On?
It's on Lifetime.
It's on
Lifetime.
No? Showtime. Lifetime, I think. Lifetime.
Yeah.
I saw it on
Life
Netflix.
Showtime.
I saw it on Netflix. Oh, Hulu. I saw it on Hulu.
Hulu.
Did you watch
Amazon.
Unreal? Huh? Are you sure you saw it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I saw it on Hulu. I did. Saw about 5 episodes.
Or Amazon.
Possibly watch on Netflix. No one knows where he saw it, but look it up, Unreal. Everybody seems to really enjoy that show. Something I really enjoy, James Corden. We love him when he does the Carpool Karaoke. Karaoke,
very different.
It's a whole different show. That's late night. But this is his rap battle where he actually goes up against celebrities. He's done it with Anne Hathaway, did it with Ross from Friends, David Schwimmer. Poor guy is always going to be Ross from Friends.
He is.
I apologize. David Schwimmer and Rebel Wilson. But last night, he took on Kevin Hart, and we've got a little clip.
Your rapping made the jump. Where to begin? Into the woods is more like into the bargain bin. You're a loser. You're not going to win. You're the perfect host to make Jimmy Kimmel feel thin. The old Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Not the new Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah. The old Jimmy Kimmel.
That's right. It's funny because I'm looking at the old Kevin Hart.
Oh. You have to watch the whole thing because he, James Corden ruined him, basically.
Yeah, which I was not expecting.
So, no, wait, you're saying white guy beat a black guy in a rap battle?
He ruined him.
Wow.
He absolutely ruined him. But that's just, you know.
We love that whole segment, and our friend Jensen Karp, of course, one of the writers on that, so he does a great job.
It is so good. If you are into binge watching Dr. Drew, you need to watch something called Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. Have you watched Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amazing,
yeah, amazing,
right?
Yeah.
If people don't know what it is, basically Jerry has one of his amazing cars. He talks a little bit about the car at first. You see the car driving. Then he calls one of his comic friends, says, can I pick you up? They get in the car. They start chit-chatting. Then they go and get coffee, hence Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. I mentioned it during one of the earlier showbizes. If you haven't seen it, start with the Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner episode. It is so good. He winds up going back to hang out with them later. He has soup and, like, sandwiches from a deli. And
wait,
they watch Jeopardy.
Soup?
I told you they have soup.
It reminds
me just
that,
so good.
Curb Your Enthusiasm coming back.
How about
yes.
that?
I'm
so excited.
That's going to be
something. Anybody involved that? I'd kill to go on that set or be a cameo or anything. I wanted to go see it. Behold.
It's the best.
Yeah.
And it should have come back even earlier, but we will take it now. But Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, Season 8, returns to Crackle today. So if you want to catch some of the guests this season, Lauren Michaels, Saturday Night Live producer, John Oliver, that one's going to be amazing.
Yes.
Judd Apatow, and Jim Gaffigan.
Charlie Manson.
No, he will not be making it on this season of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Turd Ferguson.
What was the second one being played at the same time?
Never mind.
This played one, and then I played the other.
You guys already, was this on? You guys go home ready?
Yes. I think we're done.
Drew, every single day at this time, we just fall apart.
It's
we
a
do.
Mess.
We just fall apart.
It is just a mess.
God bless anybody that's still listening.
Yes.
Right this second.
Very true. CBS will be the network for the Grammy Awards through 2026, which we should be happy about, but Bean found something to be upset about. Bean, why?
Dr. Drew, back me up on this.
Uh-oh.
LL Cool J is a terrible television host. He has no business having the reins of a major awards show on primetime network television.
You know, though, on the somebody that's just bland and keeps the trains running on time is kind of what network looks for in a big production like that.
Vanilla, just get it. Just get
but
it
if
to
you
the next
look,
port.
If you look at the Emmys, you look at the Tonys, you look at the Oscars, you look at the Golden Globes, they are picking from Andy Samberg, Jimmy Kimmel, James Corden, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, all of those sorts of people who can keep the train moving but also be entertaining at the same time. LL Cool J brings nothing
what
to the
table. About LL Cool J most bothers you, Bean?
He licks his lips every 5 seconds for 3 hours.
Notice until you're watching for it, and then it's
once
all
Bean
you
says
see.
That, it's it ruins it.
Bean
it
has a special it. Brain that focuses in
it
on
does.
Very
yeah,
it's
weird.
Acute details.
Get him a salt lick or something. Get him to stop licking his lips during the broadcast. It's awful.
He's hot.
We talked to LL Cool J 1 year, and Bean brought that up.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
what'd he say?
He had no answer because he doesn't really know that
he denied
does it.
He's a nice guy, right?
He's so nice.
So super
he's
nice
so talented.
So then they pitched him the next year, and we were like, no, we're not going to do that again. No, we feel bad. Stop it.
Let's wrap this up.
Please.
All of these stars were born today, June 16th. Petros Papadakis.
Yeah.
Extra ranch.
Wait, what?
Sorry,
Petros?
What?
Extra ranch.
He just called in to say that. Turning 39 years old today. Bean doppelganger and golfer Phil Mickelson is 46.
I get it.
Thank you, Petros. Rapper MC Ren is 47.
Intercourse!
MC Peregrine is 34.
The pace of the elephant is slow.
Thank you, Petros.
But crushing.
Oh, butt crushing. Comic Adam Ray, who we are so proud of, just got named to the cast of the reboot of Mad TV.
Yeah.
So cool. It is his birthday. He is 34.
Love you guys. Have a great day. Popo's out.
Thank you. Thank you, Petros. And actress Abby Elliott is 29.
Shut up, P.
Who was that? Was that me?
Might have been.
Oh,
no, no
shut
way.
Shut up, P.
No, that's
oh,
not
no,
you.
That's not me.
One of the many people who asked you to shut up throughout the years.
And actor John Cho is 44.
Bean is so special.
He is, right?
He really is.
So much. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Kramer, welcome to Show with Speed.
Thank you, Allie. Thank you. Dr. Drew, anything else you want to
No, I just thank you for having me. It's always so fun to see
that
you guys.
Fun.
And yeah,
great
and
to
I,
see
I
you.
Wish I could. if I didn't live in Pasadena, I'd come here all the time.
You should move.
Yeah.
For us.
They built all those condos back here.
They did.
Yeah, exactly.
They did.
Keep a condo.
Let's get
them
a house.
Right. And then the night before, you can stay there, and then you can come in.
All right.
No?
No.
On your drive home today, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Pamela Chellin. You might not recognize the name. Bean will be very, very excited because she's covering the Led Zeppelin trial.
Yes, ooh. She's with the LA Times. We've had her on for other cases in the past, and this is a fascinating copyright infringement case that she has a front row seat on. So she'll be telling us all about the first week of the trial. I'm excited about that.
Movie beat, because it's Friday. We've got comedian Frank Caliendo in.
So funny.
We have Scott Aukerman in talking about Comedy Bang Bang. And Susan Michaels, who will be here to tell us about CatCon LA.
Uh-oh.
It's back.
It's huge.
Uh-oh.
So huge.
You go.
20,000 visitors, I think, expected this.
They used to be in Pasadena. It used to be at the Pasadena Convention Center.
Oh, yeah. It outgrew Pasadena.
Oh, yeah. It's outgrown that.
Yeah.
CatCon. So that's a thing. We'll talk about that tomorrow morning.
Come back tomorrow.
Okay.